That statistics are for losers.
Well, one thing we did notice in the second game last night, well, was that San Diego State, a la the Hawkeyes of Iowa, were very physical, and Stanford, as well as the Flankers, was more of a team that looked at the opportunity, trying to steal, lose ball, etc. Stanford was pushed around quite a bit underneath, that's where the Flankers, and no fouls as well, and that Stanford received the same type of treatment from the officials last night. So, it could be a problem as far as the officiating goes. Things are unfold somewhat loosely out here. They don't seem to mind too much the bodying under the boards, but they do complain about reaching in, etc., which seems to be the Flankers' game.
Yes, that's very true. It's not so much that it's one-sided or biased. It just doesn't complement the Quakers' game very effectively. They don't normally hit the offensive boards very hard, where both Iowa last night and San Diego State, from what we've seen, do very effectively. So the fact that the officials don't call them very close underneath the basket is not to the Quakers' benefit at all. Where the officials do call them close is, as you said, the reaching in type foul. The Quakers play a gambling defense. They go for the ball every time it's passed inside, and the officials call that very close. So it's to the exact opposite. It's totally to the Quakers' detriment, the style of officiating. And it's not necessarily bad, but it does not help the Quakers at all, and it's certainly not what they're used to. Normally, they'll get the benefit of the calls back home in the Palestra and in other arenas around the East. And the Palestra officials draw from the same general pool around the East, whereas the officials out here are of a totally different grouping.
That's right. Now, walking by, they'll see Bobby Willis. Bobby was somewhat of a questionable performer in last night's game up until the opening half, but Bobby played very well. Bobby came in off the bench. Kenny Hall started in his play. Bobby came in off the bench and scored 6 points. But more importantly, he made a tough himself on defense in shutting down Ronnie Lester, who was just superb last night, scoring 25 points. He was the assist leader, and he did it all for the Hawkeyes of Iowa, and he's a big reason why they're in the final match tonight. You know, alluding to last night's San Diego State loss to Stanford, according to the papers and the people who Paul and I have spoken to out here, it was an even bigger loss financially for the arena here at San Diego, because had San Diego State defeated Stanford, they would have expected a crowd of about 8,000 or so, but because San Diego State is not in the final round, the championship round, rather in the preliminary round, they only expect a crowd of about 5,000 or so. So it was a big loss indeed for the Aztecs of San Diego State.
Well, the crowd last night was listed at over 5,000. The crowd certainly wasn't that big during the Quakers game against Iowa, but the fans started to file in time for the second game when the home team, San Diego State, played. However, tonight, San Diego State, the home team, is in the first game, the consolation game versus the University of Pennsylvania, and the crowd looks about as big as it did for the first game last night. So if they don't show up for this one, I don't think they're going to show up for the second one, but hopefully the crowd will thicken a little bit before game time, and they will get at least the 5,000 that they got last night.
Okay, now, in looking at the Quakers last night, Matt White had a great game for the Quakers. He did it all for them, scoring 16 points, a real cover on the board. He really didn't have much help from the officials because he was taking a pretty good punishment underneath. Yet Matt was able to do the job effectively, and twice in the final seconds of the second half, White hit the key jumpers underneath that put that even the score and put the game into overtime.
White, I thought, played his best game that he's played for the Quakers all season long. He was only listed for 12 rebounds, which was matched by Tony Price's 12. They both led all rebounders on for either Iowa or the University of Pennsylvania. However, I thought White was exceptionally tough underneath the boards. Usually Tony is, Matt will just box out against the opposing center, and Tony will really be the man in the Quakers' defensive scheme of things to be dependent on to clear the board. However, last night, that was not the case. Matt was in there as much or more often than Tony was, and that's not taking anything away from Tony. That's just saying Matt White played one of his better games on the defensive board. However, Matt's going to have his hands full tonight. He faces Steve Malavik, the listed at 6'10 at center for San Diego State, and Malavik has some good moves from the outside. He can drill the ball in anywhere from 15 feet on in along the baseline. A really nice touch from the outside, and Matt just can't let Steve Malavik have the open jumper from anywhere near the basket, going on out to around 15 feet, and last night he showed touch from as far as 20. So Matt will have an unusual test. He has faced more inside-type centers in the games that the University of Pennsylvania has played so far this year. This time he's going to get a man who's got a few more moves to the outside, so it'll be interesting to see if Matt White can meet that test.
Well, you alluded to Matt coming out. Now, last night, Boyle on Iowa, Greg Boyle, check that, Kenneth Boyle, the freshman. He was really a very tough against that. He took a lot of baseline covers, and that had to come out of Deegan because Iowa was running their center weight. Stay away from the ball and stay away from the basket, and then try and crash the boards into the shot of thing. The match took up the slack and came out somewhat to meet him. Now, the Quakers stay in the zone. I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem. They would probably let one of the big forward, either Tony Price or Tom Lee, to put the ball game for Tom Condon, let him handle it somewhat outside. But inside, it's going to be a different story.
Oh, inside, San Diego State can really crash the board. He mentioned that the officials might let them do that a little more than we might see at the East Coast. But at any rate, East Coast, West Coast, these guys can really hit the boards and hit them hard. They've got some people that can really get up in the air, and they've got a lot of bulk, too. Jim Getz, the one forward, is a fine, fine outside shooter. He just really went on a tear in the first half for San Diego State. He was quieted in the second half, either by good defense or just by more or less the fact that he was not able to get the ball in the right spot where he likes his open jumper, usually from the left-hand corner. And I think that really hurt San Diego State offensively in the second half last night against Stanford. The other forward, Fresnel Gilbert, is not quite as tall as Getz, but he probably hits the boards even harder. A real muscle man, a real leaper. He can get in there, and he'll take a run starting around the foul line and just go flying. And a few times he timed him just right, grabbed an offensive rebound and slammed it home and brought the crowd to his feet. But Gilbert can really be a factor here tonight. And we'll probably see Timmy Smith go against him. And Tim Smith has done his share of physical work, but he'll give away a little bit of height to Fresnel Gilbert and maybe even still a little bit of strength, as strong as Tim Smith is.
Well, Fresnel really crashed the board very hard last night in the Stanford game. I remember one instance when he climbed over Tim Belton to grab a rebound. Belton took a good shot from behind. And then he looked at Gilbert, and it was as if to say, give me a break, because Gilbert went right over the top. And as we mentioned before, the referee has not been all that strict in calling offensive and defensive fouls underneath the board. The fouls are called in generally around the midcourt area towards the foul line, but they seem to be loath to blow the whistle underneath the boards. And if that is the case tonight, it could spell trouble for the Quakers.
Another interesting factor that we should mention is the presence of Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn, we'll get to that in just a minute as we're about to have our national anthem played.
Among the other three teams that will join San Diego State will be Indiana University, the University of Tennessee, and Penn's Ivy League opponent, Brown University. So, apparently, what they're trying to do here in San Diego is upgrade basketball on the college level. They appear to be doing that somewhat with the addition of the Cabrillo Classic a few years ago, the upgrading of the program here at San Diego State, in addition to that of the University of California at San Diego and the University of San Diego.
Both teams have returned to the floor for their official warm-ups after the playing of the national anthem. San Diego State Aztecs warming up in front of us. And the first thing you notice is 5'11", 165-pound point guard Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn, a sophomore, is very reminiscent of Alton Bird, and he really makes the Aztecs go. They're a big team, a team you wouldn't think would run, but when Tony Gwynn is on the floor and he's got the ball, run they do, and they can really come up the court in impressive fashion. Gwynn, however, went down hard late in last night's game against Stanford in the second game of the opening round. Gwynn went down under the basket, fell flat on his back, and is now taking warm-up with a neck brace on, much the same type of neck brace you would wear if you suffered some sort of whiplash. He's going through a full warm-up. I suppose he's going to play, but it'll be very, very important to see how his mobility or any of his other floor generalship is affected by the wearing of the neck brace or any hampering of that the injury will cause him.
That's right, because last night he was really the man that made the offense go, to reiterate what you said, Paul. Very quick, reminiscent of Alton Bird, gets the ball up court quickly and moves it over to his forward to usually do a good job of finding the open shot. He's not much of a shot himself, but he'll take the shot if you give it to him from about 15 feet out. Other than that, he usually is reluctant to take the shot from the outside.
He's joined in the backcourt by...
You're listening to this game on WXPN in Philadelphia.
Guy goes at 6'5 and doesn't really handle the ball at all. He'll just get up there and get in position for a shot someplace, and Ole moves very effectively on the fast break when he's going along with Gwynn. He won't handle the ball, as I said, all that much. You'll very seldom see him bring it up unless there's some sort of press situation going on. If anything, Presnell Gilbert, the forward, tends to handle the ball more than Dodd does, and Dodd is supposed to be a guard. But Dodd, nonetheless, is the starting guard and played rather well yesterday, especially when San Diego State was running in the first half. When they had the running game going, Dodd was the beneficiary of many a pass which led to a layup. He only scored 11 points on the night in total, but that was probably due to the fact that San Diego was unable to run in the second half, which really shut down their offense.
Paul, I just saw Bobby Willis go by, Coach Weinhauer. Weinhauer asked him how the feel. Bobby shook the head okay, so... Apparently, Bobby is really not bothered too much by the ankle, although I would still expect to see Kenny Hall starting in the backcourt tonight.
I think it can go either way, and it really doesn't matter. If Bobby feels up to par, Coach Weinhauer may give him the start just because Willis was the starting guard in the beginning of the year, and that's probably his rightful place. But at any rate, I think all three of those guards will see just about equal action through the course of the game, and Angelo Reynolds will probably take up any extra slack that's needed, as was the case last night when Willis fouled out. Four Quakers fouled out last night: Tony Price, Bobby Willis, Matt White, and Tim Smith. And that's four. Well, although Willis was not a starter last night, those are four players that would normally start, and I still consider Willis a starter even if he isn't on the court for the opening tip-off. So when you lose four starters in a double overtime game, you're very fortunate if you're in the game anymore at all. And although the Quakers made a valiant effort in the second overtime, they really just couldn't hang in there anymore. They had just too much inexperience on the court when they lost those four players.
You know, somewhat disappointing was the point production of Kenny Hall. This is not to take anything away from Kenny, because he played very well. Well, Bobby Willis is announced as the starting guard, so that eliminates that as a concern of ours. But Kenny Hall only scored 4 points last night. I guess you'd have to attribute some of that to the strong play of Arnie Lester's drawing. Lester played a strong game at both ends of the court, and he really shut down Kenny Hall, who normally has a very good shot from the outside.
Yeah, Kenny had all really had his hands full against Ronnie Lester, and losing Willis to foul trouble when he fouled out late in the second half in regulation time was really a blow to the Quakers, because Lester had been more or less shut down after a very, very blazing start in the opening minutes of the game. When Bobby Willis came in and began to guard him, when he first came into the game, he did not pick up Lester, but after a time late in the first half, Willis began to cover Lester, and that's when Lester started to be shut down. He had 13 points in the first half, and almost midway through the second half, he only had 15. So Willis really closed the door on Lester, but then Willis was taken out of the game, and he eventually fouled out, so he didn't play that much in the waning moments of the game. And Lester came alive once again, finished with his 25 points, I believe, and that really hurt the Quakers. So Kenny Hall, in having to do the tough defensive job against Lester, was unable to respond at the other end of the court, which is very often the case. You get so caught up in what your man is doing at one end of the floor that you start to get out of your own offense at the other end.
Okay, let's run down the starting lineup. For the Quakers, James Saunders and Bobby Willis will be starting at guard, Tony Price and Timmy Smith starting at forwards, and Matt White starting at center. For San Diego State, they'll go with Steve Malabek at center. Mike Dodd and Tony Gwynn will be the guard, and at forwards, Kim Gatson from Fresno Dilbert. We mentioned before that Kim Gatson is a good touch from the outside, and Fresno Dilbert is the cover on the board. And those matchups, I would assume Fresno Dilbert is full mentioned. Fresno Dilbert will be matched with Timmy Smith, and Kim Gatson will probably be handled by Tony Price. So we'll see how everything develops. I'll be handling the play-by-play. Paul will handle the color tours, and then we'll switch roles with Paul doing the play in the second half and me providing the color analysis. 20 minutes of play to go in the first half. Jumping center for the Quakers, Matt White at center, and Steve Malovic for San Diego State. Malovic, 6'10", 230 pounds, a senior from Phoenix, Arizona. We're getting set now. Matt White takes the medal off his neck. He probably picked that up in Tijuana as it's made of wood or bamboo. White gets set to join the joint center. They shake hands at midcourt, and we're all set to go. 20 minutes of play in the first half. Don Anderson, Paul Mazuchek with you in the consolation round of the 1978-79 WO Classic. Jump control by the Quakers. It's taken by Bobby Willis in the backcourt. Willis met there by Mike Dodd. Cuts over to the right side. Now moves to the left. Down pass over to Saunders on the right side. He's Timmy Smith in the left, in the right corner. Smith looks for the open man. Now puts it on the floor. Feeds back outside to Willis. Willis looks to set it up again. He's met out there by Dodd. San Diego State operating in a 2-1-2 zone. As the Quakers look to penetrate underneath. Matt White with the ball on a high post on the right side. Feeds over to Bobby Willis. Willis looks for the open man. Now puts on the floor. Feeds outside to Tony Price. And now traveling is thrown against Willis. And Willis stumbled just a little bit before dishing the ball over to Price. So San Diego State takes over at the backcourt. Dodd inbounds to Fresno Gilbert, who drops it off for Tony Gwynn. And Gwynn pushes it across the midcourt line for San Diego State. Gwynn feeds Fresno Gilbert to Kim Gatson at the right baseline. Turnaround jumper is up. No good. Rebound pulled down by Timmy Smith. Timmy did a good job of blocking out Fresno Gilbert, who was all over him. Smith feeds ahead to Willis. Willis to Tony Price. The pass was too long, and it goes out of bounds. And San Diego State once again takes over on a turnover.
Quakers quickly made two turnovers. They made 16 last night, and that's very unusual for the Quakers. They usually don't make too many at all.
Okay, coming up court in a hurry is Tony Gwynn across the midcourt line. He doesn't seem to be bothered too much by the neck injury, which he suffered last night. Gwynn bounced past the Malovic up the top of the key, being played tightly by White. Quakers in a man-to-man. Malovic bounced pass over to the guest back to Malovic. He puts up a jumper, still good, but now we have a whistle and a foul is called. I believe the foul is called on Matt White.
Malovic putting the ball on the floor, going to the bottom of the circle in the lane against Matt White, and Matt called for the foul as Malovic was in the act of shooting. Not too much contact there, but they tend to call those very close. So Malovic will get two shots right here, and once again the Quakers face against the foul line.
Okay, the first shot by Malovic is no good. He'll have another one coming. 18:57 remaining in the first half, and there is no score. Malovic would like to change that on the second free throw here. Puts it on the floor a couple of times, makes aim and fires. Second foul shot is good. So San Diego State is now on top 1-0. Saunders moves it across the midcourt line. Feeds ahead to Willis. Willis from the right side. 20-footer is up, no good. Rebound, 4-4, pulled down by Tony Gwynn. The 5-11 yard. Gwynn moves it ahead to get. Gets the dot on the drive. He scores. 3-0 San Diego State. Saunders inbounds to White. Back to Saunders. James being pressured in the backcourt. It's hit from behind, no call. Feeds ahead to Bobby Willis. Willis over to Tony Price from the left side. Tony wide open, lays it up, won't go. Rebound, 4-4. Pulled down finally by Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert ahead to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn across the midcourt line in a hurry. A 4-on-2 for San Diego State. For San Diego City. He almost doubled. He's over to Malovic. Malovic, nice shot to the left side, is good. 5-0 San Diego State. 18:20 remaining in the first half.
Quakers once again having their problems offensively.
Tony Gwynn intercepts the pass intended for Tony Price. Pass is thrown by Saunders. Gwynn intercepts, plays it up and in. And San Diego State is now on top by 7, 7-0. Quakers having problems going against this press of San Diego State. Matt White tries to take a pass to Tony Price. He's bodied along the boards by Tony Gwynn. Gwynn intercepts the pass, goes the length of the court and scores. 5-0 San Diego State. The Quakers are going to call a timeout and try and get things straightened out for themselves. 17:53 remaining in the first half. The Quakers trail 9-0.
With the exception of one shot by Tony Price, the Quakers turn the ball over every single time they've had it. I have no explanation for that at all. San Diego State has sent three men down the court to triple team the point guard who's bringing the ball up. In most of those cases, it was James Salters, and Salters either passed the ball into the hands of a San Diego State player or lost it himself, as was the case when Tony Gwynn stripped him of the ball. So the Quakers are going to have to change something in terms of bringing the ball up and breaking the press. It's unusual to see a team try to press the Quakers, and they've usually broken it quickly and teams have left it. But San Diego State has been very, very successful in it in the opening minutes, and it's resulted in a 9-0 lead. And the Quakers are not going to score very much if they turn the ball over before they get a shot off. That's very obvious. Tony Price, in his one shot, it should be mentioned, was wide open. The Quakers had a chance to break the press right there, but Price waited just a second attempting to throw out a foul from Fresnel Gilbert, and then although it looked as though he did draw that foul, he missed the shot. No call was made. The Quakers lost the ball. San Diego State came the other way and immediately converted, so the Quakers are going to have to change things if they want to get back into this ballgame before things get out of hand in the opening moment.
Okay, the Quakers returned with the same five that left the court. No substitutions for them, and no substitution it appears for San Diego State. So the Quakers will inbound from underneath the basket. Saunders will handle the inbound chores for the Quakers, and it looks like he's going to get some help from the backcourt. Bobby Willis takes the inbound pass. Feeds back to Saunders. Saunders being triple team. Bounce pass over to Willis. Willis looks to move it up court. He's being double teamed. Sends it ahead to Tony Price. Now the Quakers are helping each other out a little bit, and they were able to break the press that time. Price feeds over to Saunders. Saunders on the drive, puts it up good. And the Quakers get on the board, 9-2. And of course, something funny is thrown onto the court by a few of the Quaker fans who have made the trip out here. An offensive foul was called on James Salters, I believe. That was his first, the team's second.
Malovic slid over into the lane and Salters went up in the air. Salters is supposed to get a place to come down unless Malovic was there before Salters took off, but they called the offensive foul. So although the Quakers get a basket, they pick up a team foul.
Okay, back to the action. 17 and a half to go. Here's Getz on the right side for San Diego State. Pete Fresnel Gilbert. Gilbert shooting over to six scores from the right side, and San Diego State once again leads by 9, 11-2. Salters being double teamed in the backcourt. Feeds ahead to Willis. Ball across the midcourt line on the right side to the top of the key. Feeds over to Tony Price. Price lays it up good. 11-4. The Quakers trail by 7. First 2 points of the evening for Tony Price. Tony Gwynn being picked up at the backcourt, pressured by Bobby Willis, moves across the midcourt line. Changes hands on the dribble as he cuts towards the top of the key. Feeds over to Mike Dodd. Dodd, the other guard for San Diego State, feeds back outside to Gwynn. Gwynn puts on the floor and comes back outside a little bit, and they'll try and straighten things out again. Quakers in the 2-1-2 zone. Gwynn with the ball, feeds over to Kim Getz on the left side. Long jumper switch. 13-4, San Diego State on top by 9.
Getz really has tremendous range from the outside. We should note that the Quakers have easily beaten the press the last 2 times down the court. Now San Diego abandons it.
Okay, Saunders to Bobby Willis in the right corner. Willis takes the shot. Feeds back outside to Saunders. Saunders to Tony Price at the top of the key. Jumper is up. No good. Rebound pulled down by Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert has trouble controlling the ball. The ball is off his foot. And almost knocked out of bounds. Picked up by Dodd. Dodd ahead to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn leads a 1-on-2 for San Diego State. He's over to Getz. Getz comes down. Puts up a shot. No good. Rebound. Malovic. He puts it up. And good. 15-4, San Diego State on top by 11. They're doing a good job of getting a second and third shot after they take the first shot. Willis comes back the other way. On a reverse, he lays it home. 15-6, the Quakers trail by 9. 16-10 remaining in the first half. Bringing the ball up court now is Dodd for San Diego State. Goes the length of the court. Now drops off for Fresnel Gilbert. Gilbert body from behind. A whistle on a plane. Now traveling is stolen. Fresnel Gilbert.
There are about 3 people trying to block that shot. Gilbert tried to wait for each one, but by the time the third one came along, Gilbert couldn't hang in the air any longer and came down with the ball. A traveling call. The Quakers, as I mentioned, broke the press very easily. They did it once again. San Diego State is now out of it, and the Quakers tried to go into one of their own. But San Diego State so far has been showing good touch from the outside when they have not gotten the ball up quickly enough.
Well, that was the case of the opening minutes of last night's game against Stanford. They could miss from the outside, but then they cooled off a little bit in the second half, and that opened the doors a little bit for Stanford to come back and finally pull out a victory. Back to the action. Willis across the midcourt line. Beats Timmy Smith. Smith to Saunders at the top of the key. Saunders looks for the open man. Beats Bobby Willis in the right corner. Long jumper is up. Switch. 15-8. The Quakers trail by 7. First 2 points of the evening for Bobby Willis. Gilbert being pressured in the backcourt. Drops for Tony Gwynn. And Gwynn pushes it across the midcourt line. He's led there by James Saunders. Cuts over to the left of the key. Close it down. Beats over to Getz. Getz to Fresnel Gilbert. Turnaround jumper is up. Good. 17-8. The Quakers again trail by 9. James Saunders across the midcourt line for the Quakers. Puts it on the floor. Tries to feed inside to Timmy Smith. Pass is out of the way by Tony Gwynn. Gwynn regains possession. Comes up court. Feeds over Malovic. Malovic on the right foot. 19-8. The Quakers trail by 11. Saunders brings the ball up court for the Quakers. Across the midcourt line. Feeds Bobby Willis in the corner. Willis feeds inside to Timmy Smith. The ball is punched away by San Diego State. They're doing a great job of controlling the pass lane. Now Malovic feeds down court to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn ahead of the field. Drives and scores. 21-8, the Quakers fell by 13, and they call another timeout.
San Diego State playing the game. We usually see the University of Pennsylvania play. As soon as the Quakers try to pass it inside, San Diego State is all over them, trying to deflect the pass. Last 2 times down the court, Quakers turned it over by trying to pass it inside to Timmy Smith or Tony Price. San Diego State would be all over the pass and all over the man trying to attempt to receive it. Both times they were successful in creating a loose ball that they came up with, so the Quakers have fallen even farther behind. They trail 21-8 with 15:01 remaining, a 13-point bulge by San Diego State already at this early point in the ballgame, when San Diego State has taken a lot of easy shots after the Quakers have turned the ball over. They brought it up very quickly in a lot of 3-on-1, 2-on-1, 3-on-2 situations that they've converted, because that's really their bread and butter. If they get a break, they're not going to miss, because everyone on a team can handle a ball, with perhaps the exception of Malavik, but Dodd, Wynn, and Fresno Gilbert can all really fly down the court and can all handle the ball well on the run.
Well, that has really been the problem for the Bakers. The aspects of San Diego State have been using the sag, and the Quakers are having a lot of difficulty getting the ball underneath.
They're going to have to do some shooting from the outside, which it's not what you want to do when you're down by 13 points. You want to make the good play inside, get the short basket, and try to make things happen. But San Diego State realizes that, and they've really collapsed on the middle. They're saying, if you want to catch up, you're going to have to get hot from outside. And the Quakers are either going to have to change things in the way they move the ball around if they want to get it inside, or do just that, get hot from the outside.
Okay, the Quakers fail by 13, as Paul said, 21-8, 15:01 remaining in the first half. Saunders brings the ball up quick for the Quakers, across the midcourt line. Picked up there by Tony Gwynn. Saunders swings over to Bobby Wells at the top of the key. To Timmy Smith on the left side. Smith outside to Tony Price. Tony looks for the open man. Body on the outside. He's inside to White. White underneath to Smith. Smith puts up a jumper and won't go. Rebound put up by Tony Price. Good. 21-10. The Quakers fail by 11.
Awful lot of contact under there. Price made that shot, but no call made. A traveling call for the Quakers to get a break. Is Malavik, the one man I said that might not be able to handle the ball, which got stuck with it. Price has 4 points in the ball game, and Malavik turns it over on the traveling.
Okay, Timmy Smith will inbound from side court for the Quakers. He inbounds to Saunders. Saunders to the top of the cage. Picked up there by Gwynn. Puts up a soft jumper off the glass and holds up. Rebound popped out of bounds by Timmy Smith, I believe. And San Diego will take over in the backcourt. 21-10, the Quakers trail by 11, 14:31 remaining in the first half. This is the consolation round of the Cabrillo Classic here at the San Diego Arena in San Diego, California. Dodd bringing the ball up front for San Diego State, across the midcourt line, to the baseline. Looks for the open man. He's back outside to Gwynn. He was being double-teamed, and he smartly passed back outside to Gwynn. Gwynn looks to set up for San Diego State. He's over to Dodd on the left side. Inside to Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert forces the jumper up off the glass. No good. Rebound pulled down by White. White ahead to Bobby Willis on the right side. Willis to the right of the cage. Close it down, comes back outside a little bit as they set up. Now he sees Timmy Smith in the right corner. Long jumper is good. 21-12, San Diego State by 9. Quakers starting to open up just a little bit here in the last half couple of minutes after that timeout. Mike Dodd brings the ball up front for San Diego State. Inside of Fresno Gilbert on the drive, it won't go, but we have a whistle on a foul of call. I believe the foul was called on Timmy Smith. If it is, that will be the team third, and Timmy Smith first.
We mentioned at the top of the broadcast that we didn't expect to see Mike Dodd handling the ball very much. We talked about Tony Gwynn. Gwynn, however, has been stopped by either Salters or Willis every time he has looked to start up court in quick fashion. And the ball has come to Mike Dodd, the man we questioned, whose ball handling ability we questioned. He has done a very admirable job so far.
Okay, Kim gets with the ball on the right side as he takes the inbound pass. He's outside to Gwynn. Over to Dodd, back outside to Gwynn. The Kim gets on the right side. Over to Malavik. Back outside to Fresno Gilbert. Inside of Malavik now. Malavik from the right baseline. Jumper short. Puts up his own rebound and scores. 23-12. San Diego State by 11. Lakers come back the other way. Here's Tony Price putting it up off the glass. Good. Checked out. It was Kenny Hall. His ball came in to replace James Salters. So 23-14. San Diego by 9. Fresno Gilbert, of course, for San Diego State. Over to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn feeds over to Tim Guest on the right side. Long jumper. Won't go. Rebound. 4-4. Pulled down by Timmy Smith. Smith bodied a little bit as he brought down a rebound, no call. Feeds ahead to Kenny Hall. All across the midcourt line to the top of the key. He's over to Willis. Willis, put it on jumper. Beautiful shot is good. 23-16. The Quakers now fail by 7. 12:55 remaining in the first half. Nice move there by Bobby. Mike Dodd bringing the ball up court for San Diego State. Drops for Tony Gwynn. Gwynn picked up there by Kenny Hall as he pushes in the corner for the midcourt line. Feeds inside to Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert, an easy 8-footer, is up good. 25-16. San Diego State by 9, and Gilbert was wide open in the baseline. Willis comes back the other way for Quakers. Feeds ahead to Tony Price. Price with a drive, he scores. A foul is called. They call it an offensive foul on Tony Price. I believe that's his second or his first.
Well, it's his first foul as far as we have it down, and once again, Malavik was quickly backpedaling as Price went down the lane, except Price was called for the foul, so unless he elbowed him, I don't believe Malavik had any position.
Okay, and that is the team's fourth team foul. So the Quakers are on their way to going over the limit. They now have four, and with 12:31 remaining in the first half, that could be a problem. Here's Kim Getz feeding over on the left side to, I believe that's Kevin Cornish, who's just come into the ballgame. Cornish is trying to feed underneath the Malavik, but the ball was knocked out of bounds by Timmy Smith, and San Diego State will inbound from the side court. Kevin Cornish, a 6'4 guard from Aurora, Colorado, Inbounds to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn has trouble holding onto the ball. He's back over to Cornish. Cornish looks for the open man, puts it on the floor. Back outside to Gwynn. Over to Kim Gant to the right side. It's inside to Fresno Gilbert. Turnaround jumper is up good. Well touched by Fresno Gilbert. And a 27-18 lead for San Diego State. Here is Kenny Hall. Hall feeding inside to Timmy Smith on the reverse. It won't go. Rebound pulled down by Gilbert. Gilbert feeds ahead to Gwynn. Over to Kevin Cornish on the left side. Bounce pass to Kim Gant. Turnaround jumper won't go. It was partially blocked by Price. Now he tries to put up his rebound, and it was blocked by Kenny Hall, but a foul is called.
When the fan flies, the foul is called. The Aztecs had a quick, fast break there, but Tony Price blocked the shot of Kim Gant. That should have given the Quakers time to settle things down on defense, which they did. But Matt White, as he slapped the ball away from Gant, trying to come back the other way after getting his own blocked shot, was called for the foul. So Gant will get to... I don't see how Getz was shooting a shot, so San Diego's going to inbound despite the fact that the scoreboard and the announcers tell us that it's a two-shot foul.
Tom Leeson comes into the ballgame for the Quakers, replacing Matt White. Back to the action. Gilbert off the inbound pass. Puts up a shot. It won't go. Rebound pulled down by Leeson. Leeson immediately makes his presence felt. Feeds ahead to Saunders. Saunders brings it up quick for the Quakers. Across the McCord line. Over on the right side. Feeds Tony Price to the right baseline. Price puts up a long 15-footer. Stretch! 27-20, the Quakers trail by 7. 11:33 remaining on the half. Gwynn being double-teamed as he breaks across the mid-court line. Drops it over to Cornish. Comes back outside. He's over to Cornish now on the left side. Inside to Malovic. Malovic sits from behind by Tom Leeson and a foul is called. That will be Leeson's first foul and the team's fifth foul.
Bobby Willis checks back into the game replacing James Salter. The Quakers a little bit over-anxious on defense trying to cause the turnover that will get them back into the ballgame.
Okay, the inbound pass by Kim Getz is blocked out of bounds by Tony Price. They'll do it again for the side court. Getz looks to inbound. Throws it back outside to Kevin Cornish. Cornish puts it on the floor. Feeds over to Getz on the right side. Inside to Malovic. The ball is blocked out of bounds by Leeson. Good play there by Leeson as the Quakers sagged underneath. And San Diego State will inbound again underneath their own basket. Getz looks to inbound. Inbounds to Tony Gwynn, and Gwynn looks to set it up for the Aztecs. A bounce pass over to Kim Getz on the right side. He's hit from behind by Price Oakball. He's over to Gwynn, over to Cornish on the right side. Cornish being double-teamed. Now we have a whistle, and I believe 3 seconds is called from San Diego State. So the Quakers forced to turnover.
Fresno Gilbert will flip into the lane for that 8-foot jump shot you've been hearing so much about, and he'll do it a little bit early away from the ball, and that time he was called for a 3-second violation.
Okay, Willis brings the ball up front to the Quakers. Across the mid-court line. Cuts over to the right side. He's over to Tony Price. Price back over to Willis. Willis looks to set it up. 10:57 remaining in the half. The Quakers trail by 7, 27-20. Bobby with the ball on the floor. Feeds outside to Kenny Hall. Ball bounce pass to Tony Price. He's underneath to Willis. Willis to Leeson. Leeson took control of the pass to get an easy shot. We come back the other way. Jeff takes the Price from Tony Gwynn. On the drive. It won't go. Rebound pulled down by Price. Price fast breaks ahead to Kenny Hall. The ball was thrown by Cornish. Cornish comes back the other way. A pair of turnovers there. First both sides. 27-20 San Diego State leads by 7. 10.5 remaining in the first half. Kim gets with the ball on the left side. Outside to Tony Gwynn. Over to Cornish on the right side. Picked up there by Willis. Back outside to Gwynn. Gwynn inside to Malovic. Malovic turnaround jumper won't go. Rebound pulled down by Timmy Smith. Smith ahead to Kenny Hall. Hall is trouble controlling the pass. Finally gains possession. Now he puts up a 15-footer. It won't go. We have a whistle and a foul is called. And I believe a blocking foul is being called on Tony Gwynn. That is his first personal foul and the team's second.
Gwynn may taking a smart foul. It was either going to be a blocking foul or perhaps he might have gotten lucky and picked up a charge. But the Quakers had a bit of a break there as Kenny Hall had slipped behind the defense. Gwynn was really in the only man in position to stop it, so he went right after Bobby Willis, and Willis just took the ball right to the hoop, and Gwynn sat down and picked up the blocking foul.
Okay, a couple of substitutions for San Diego State. Coming into the ballgame is Hilton Hale. He'll replace Kim Getz. Check that. That's the only substitution for San Diego State. Now, Hilton Hale, a 6'5 senior forward from Columbus, Ohio, he weighs 195 pounds, a thin, lanky guy, and I'm sure he's able to jump pretty high. Inbound pass goes to Tony Price. Price to the right baseline. Fake, pop, and good. Hung around the rim and finally fell through. 27-22. The Quakers now trail by 5. They've chopped 8 points off a 13-point lead, which San Diego State once had when they led 21-8. Tony Gwynn feeds over to Cornish. Cornish outside to Hilton Hale. Over to Tony Gwynn at the top of the gate. He forces the jumper. It won't go. Rebound pulled down finally by Cornish. Cornish has the ball popped out of his hand. Now they're all tied up and they call it a jump ball.
Kay Hall absolutely mugged Mike Dodd, but there was no call on the play. They'll let just about anything go if there's a loose ball or a rebound, but to create the loose ball, they'll call it very tight. That seems to be the tone of the officiating. And the Quakers find themselves in pretty good shape here. If Bobby Willis can get this jump ball, his leaping ability should give him an advantage. The Quakers down by only 5 after trailing by 13 with 9:44 remaining in the first half.
Okay, the jump between Willis and Hilton Hale. Here's the jump. It was controlled by Willis, but Willis stepped into the lane too soon, and now we have a whistle. Check that, Willis, they say Willis didn't jump into the lane too soon, and instead it was Hilton Hale who jumped in, so the Quaker is rolling back from the side choice.
Hale crossed the circle and pushed Bobby as Bobby got the tap, and you got to stay on your side of the line.
Okay. Here, just like in driving. Here's Bobby Willis across the midcourt line to the Quakers, over on the right side. Well, that's a bounce pass to Vincent Ross, who's just checked into the ball game for Tom. Check that first. We'll get back to that in a minute. Ross feeds over to Kenny Hall at the top of the key. Tries to beat inside the lead, but the ball was flattened away by Hilton Hale. He feeds down court to Malovic. Malovic over to Fresno Gilbert on the right side. Takes the shot. It was partially blocked by Tony Price. The nice play there by Tony. He feeds ahead to Bobby Willis. Willis first 3-on-2. It's the right baseline. Bumps into Gwynn. No cross. Feeds inside to Leeson. Leeson turnaround jumper off the glass. Won't go. Rebound pulled down by Dodd. Dodd brings the ball up court for San Diego State. Across the midcourt line. Over to the right baseline. Picked up there by Kenny Hall. Looks for the open man outside to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn over to Hilton Hale. Hale looks for the open man. Now back to Gwynn. Back to Hale now. Hale over to Gwynn. Gwynn takes the pass, puts it on the floor. He's met there by Willis. Drops off for Mike Dodd. Back outside to Tony Gwynn. The Quakers trail by 5 with 8:48 to go in the first half, and they've done a good job getting themselves back into the ballgame. It looked like San Diego State was going to blow them out when they opened up a 13-point lead, but the Quakers have changed course, and they're doing very well now. Tony Gwynn with the ball, with his back to the basket, to the right baseline. He's outside to Hilton Hale. Back outside to Gwynn. Gwynn looking for the open man. The Quakers are playing a tight defense, and San Diego State is having trouble finding the open man. They're not going to force a shot. They don't want to do that. 8:24 remaining in the first half. Here's Gwynn with the ball. Gwynn to the top of the key. Looks for the open man. He's met there by Willis. Over to Malovic. Malovic gets free for the jumper. It's good.
Aztec certainly worked hard for that shot. The Quakers played tough defense for almost 40 seconds and forced a 20-footer. San Diego State made it, but if they take those all night, the Quakers are probably going to be to their benefit.
Okay, Leeson takes a pass from Kenny Hall, puts up a shot at Wonka, but we have a whistle on a foul is called. The foul is called on Malovic. That's his first and the team's third. A couple of substitutions for the Quakers. Matt White and James Golders come into the ballgame. They replace Kenny Hall and Tom Leeson.
Well, I don't see how Tom Leeson can come out of the ballgame if that's a shooting foul, and I believe it was, but they're going to give the Quakers the ball underneath their own basket. Apparently, they feel the foul was before Leeson took the shot, and, okay. So Salters will inbound, and Leeson gets to come out.
Okay, the inbound pass is taken by Bobby Willis. Willis at the right baseline. Thanks, Pop. Good. 29-24. The Quakers fell by 5, and Willis is seeming to find his way back on the court. We were worried about his condition after he turned the ankle, especially the way we saw him in practice a few days ago here in San Diego, but he's doing just fine. We come back the other way. Dodd puts up a long jumper from the left side and scores. 31-24 at San Diego State. Again, leads by 7. Willis comes back the other way for the Quakers. Holds the ball high above his head. He's over to Tony Price at the top of the key. Tony, thanks. Pops good. 31-26. The Quakers lead by 5.
Tony Price once again telling Hilton Hale, who are you to cover me? And perhaps there's some validity to that as Hale is giving up about 3 inches to Price.
Price with 12 points in the ballgame. We come back the other way. Jimmy Ramsey coming in the ballgame. He's replaced Tony Gwynn. He feeds over to Mike Dodd on the right side, and Dodd scores from there. 33-26, San Diego State by 7. Willis comes up court for the Quakers, bumps in to Jimmy Ramsey, and now we have a whistle. The foul is called.
Offensive foul on Bobby Willis, and that's a pretty quick establishment of position if you ask me, but Bobby picks up the foul now. He's going to get his feet on the bench as Tim Smith gets ready to check back into the game.
I believe that's Bobby's second personal foul, and the team's sixth team foul. So
first personal for Willis as we have it.
Check that. You're right, Paul. The first team foul in Willis, first personal foul in Willis, the team six. 7:04 remaining in the first half. The Quakers trail 33-26. Hilton Hale with the ball. Feeds outside to Jimmy Ranson. Ranson holds the ball high above his head. Feeds over to Malovic on the left side. He comes way outside. Feeds underneath to Dodd. Dodd puts up a shot. It's good, but it won't count as the foul was called before he took the shot.
Angelo Reynolds pinning the ball against the stomach of Jimmy Ransom as he tried to drive the lane, and apparently that's a foul, and Mike Dodd is going to go to the line now to shoot 1-1 as the Quakers are over the limit, so apparently the foul is away from the ball.
Okay, Dodd goes to the line. Well, either that or Dodd was, well,
that's incredible. The foul is on Angelo Reynolds, who is covering Jimmy Ransom, and yet Dodd is on the line, and that's a neat trick.
Well, They see things a little differently out here in California.
Well, Dodd has black hair and Ranson has blonde hair, so they're easily confused, and one is about 4 inches bigger than the other.
Well put, Paul. Dodd made the first, missed the second. San Diego State leads by 8, 34-26. Angelo Reynolds with the ball. He's over to James Saunders. Saunders back outside to Timmy Smith. Smith over to Tony Price at the left side. Price over to Timmy Smith in the right corner. And he looks for the open man. Outside to Angelo Reynolds. Angelo from downtown. It is no good. Rebound brought down by Malamud. He feeds ahead to Ranson. Ranson takes his hands on the dribble as he moves across the midcourt line. Underneath he lays it to Marcus Hamilton, who's just come in the ballgame. Hamilton on the reverse and wouldn't go. He was wide open, and it was a rough for him to miss that shot. The Breakers come back the other way. Saunders across the midcourt line. His calls are traveling now as he tried to elude Marcus Hamilton. So 6:19 remaining in the first half, and the Quakers trail by 8, 34-26. Here is Hamilton with the ball. Across the midcourt line for San Diego State. Check that, it's Ranson. Ranson over to Hamilton at the top of the key. He feeds inside to Malovic, and Matt White now is called for a foul. He reached in from behind.
Well, it looks like the stats are probably going to look the same way as far as fouls are concerned at the end of this ball game as they did last night. Hopefully the Quakers can overcome that where they couldn't last night, because they're going to be in foul trouble once again. And the other team is going to spend a lot of time on the free throw line. The Quakers over the foul limit, as they have been for over a minute, and there's 6 minutes remaining in the game, so there's going to be a lot of one-and-one for the Aztecs. Hopefully they don't shoot as effectively from the foul line as the Iowa Hawkeyes did last night.
Okay, Malovic's first foul shot is good. Tom Leeson comes into the ball game for Matt White. Matt now has 3 personal fouls on the evening. Malovic gets sent to shoot the second free throw. 35-26, San Diego State leads by 9. Make that 10 as Malovic hits the second of 2. 36-26, San Diego State by 10. Saunders across the midcourt line for Penn. He's picked up there by Ranson, moves over to the left side, changes his hands on the dribble, feeds over to Angelo Reynolds. Reynolds cuts over to the right baseline, feeds to Tony Price. Price to Timmy Smith in the right corner, turnaround jumper from there is no good. Rebound brought down by Mike Dodd. Dodd across the midcourt line to the top of the key. Feeds over to Jimmy Ranson, right side jump off the glass, won't go. Tipped up by Dodd, good. 38-26, San Diego State back up by 12. Pick up the Quakers back the other way. Angelo Reynolds from downtown on the right side. The jumper is up, no good. Rebound front four, pulled down by Hilton Hale. Hale fast breaks the Mike Dodd on the right side. He's picked up by Tony Price. Slows it down as he waits for his teammates to catch up with him. Feeds underneath the mark of Hamilton. Outside of Malovic. Malovic has the ball knocked out of his hands. It's taken by Ranson way outside. Ranson on the right side. Feeds over to Hilton Hale for the right side. Jumper's up, no good. Rebound pulled down by Leeson. Leeson, the 6'9 freshman from Millburn, New Jersey. Drops off for Angelo Reynolds, another freshman, who feeds up court to James Saunders. Saunders over to Reynolds on the right side. Timmy Smith in the corner. Smith underneath to, I believe he was looking for Saunders, but the pass was intercepted by Ranson. He feeds down court to Marcus Hamilton, who misses the dunk. Hamilton misses the dunk. Unbelievable. He was ahead of the field, sky high, came down, and just misjudged it and threw the dunk. So the Quakers win on that from side court. And we have a couple of substitutions now. Coming out of the ball game is Angelo Reynolds, and I believe, let's see who the other fellow is coming out for the Quakers. Well, Angelo Reynolds is the only fellow departing for the Quakers, and in to replace him is Kenny Hall.
Excuse me, Don, but I had to catch that ball after it slipped off the rim and throw it back to the official. I had thoughts of throwing it right in his face, but I calmed down and thought better of it.
Well, glad to see the discretion was the better part about it. Right, right, right. Kenny Hall puts up a 15-footer, is good. 38-28, San Diego State leads by 10. 4:42 remaining in the first half. We come back the other way. Cornish across the midcourt line for San Diego State. He feeds over to Tony Glenn, who's come back for the ballgame. Glenn's met there by Kenny Hall. He feeds underneath to Hilton Hale. Hale on the drive, he's good. 40-28, San Diego State by 12. We come back the other way. Here's Wilkins for the Quakers on the right side. He's being played loosely. Feeds over to Kenny Hall. Ball to the baseline, puts up a shot, it won't go. We have a whistle and a foul, it's called. Ball is fouled in the act of shooting and should go to the line, but judging by the way the referees have been calling things, you never know.
Well, the entire Quaker team is on the line right now. So, but I think when they move away, Kenny Hall will remain standing there for 2 shots. As Ted Flickett sets the check back into the ballgame for Tom Leeson. And I've got to wonder what's wrong with Matt White. Well, he has 3 personals. That's what's wrong with him. So the Quakers are going to have some trouble there with the foul situation. Ted Flick now into the ballgame, replacing Timmy Smith, who leaves with 1 personal. And there must have been another substitution there. We'll get it for a second. No, Tom Leeson remained in the ballgame. So it'll be Leeson, Flick, and Price up front.
Kenny Hall missed the first free throw. He's got another one coming. The foul was on Kevin Corners. That's his first and the team's third. So San Diego State is in pretty good shape as far as the personal fouls go.
Ringon Sodder's on the court for the Quakers, so they're not in the most desirable of situations to get back in this ball game, down by 10.
Check that. They're down by 12, 40-28. We come back the other way. Here's Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert on the drive, he puts it up and won't go. Rebound 4-4, pulled down by Tom Leeson. Leeson feeds ahead to Bobby Willis, the pass is slapped out of his hand. He's able to maintain possession, though. Feeds over to Kenny Hall, and Hall pushes it across the midcourt line for Pennsylvania. Hall looks to the open man, feeds over to Bobby Willis on the right side. Bobby is picked up there by Tony Gwynn. Cuts over to the right side again now as he was going to the left side. Puts up a soft jumper, it won't go. Rebound pulled down by Tony Price. He fakes, pops, it won't go, and now a whistle on the foul is called. Getting back to the scoreboard, there was a slight error on the scoreboard. Paul, they're very slow here in registering the points. It's 40-29, San Diego State leads by 11. Kenny Hall missed the first free throw, but made the second. 40-29, the Tigers trail by 11. They hope to cut the deficit to 9, with Tony Price going to the line for two shots.
For a brief instant, I thought they were not going to call a foul on that play, as Tony Price was mugged underneath, but fortunately the slow whistle works in the Quakers' favor there, as after Price had gotten the rebound, or the block shot, I guess, after being fouled, he had already put the ball up again before the whistle had finally blown on his first shot.
Okay, we come back. Tony Price hits the second free throw. 40-30, San Diego State leads by 10. We come back to Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert over to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn feeds it down toward to Malovic. Malovic goes 1-on-3, closes it down, feeds back outside to Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert over to Tony Gwynn at the top of the key. Back over to Kevin Cornish, outside to Tony Gwynn. 10-point lead for San Diego State. Gwynn looks for the open man. Stop. He stops pass to Fresno Gilbert. Gilbert bodied off the ball by Fleck. Feeds back outside to Tony Gwynn, and he looks to start it up all over again. Over to Tim Getz on the right side. Getz being played tightly by Flicker. The Flickers go into a 1-2-2 zone. There's Kevin Cornish outside to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn to the top of the cave. He's over to Malovic. Malovic on the left side. He's Getz at the top of the cave. Long jumper switch. He's tough, no doubt about it. 42-30. San Diego State leads by 12. Under 3 minutes to go in the first half. 2:56 to be exact. Look at the right baseline. Looks for the open man. He's outside to Bobby Willis. Long jumper is good. 42-32. The Flickers trail by 10. Willis now has 10 points in the ball game. We come back the other way. Here's Gwynn bringing the ball up front for San Diego State, being double teamed. He gets it over to Getz on the right side. Ball jumper from there is good. That guy is just deadly from the outside. He is a marksman. Bobby Willis comes back the other way for the Tigers to the baseline. He's hit from behind by Mike Dodd. No call. Willis puts up a jumper. It's up. Won't go. Rebound 4-4 and pulled down by 20 points. Price turnaround jumper is up and good. 44-34. San Diego State by 10. 2:18 remaining in the first half.
Three Aztec bodies in that last war as the Quakers got the offensive rebound and Tony Price with a shot.
Gets again from the right side, puts up a shot, it's good. 26-34, the Quakers trail by 12, and someone's going to have to come out and meet Gets on it outside. The Quakers come back the other way. Willis trying to feed it underneath the flick. Flick wasn't looking for the pass, it went over his head and out of bounds. So San Diego State will take over in the backcourt on the turnover. They lead by 12, 46-34. 2:03 remaining in the first half in the consolation round of the Cabrillo Classic here at the San Diego Arena in San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn across the midcourt line for San Diego State. Moves over to the left side, feeds over to Mike Dodd. Dodd, the other guard, feeds it back outside to Gwynn. Gwynn being pressured by Willis, drops it off to Malovic. Malovic over to Dodd at the right side. Dodd makes, pops off the glass, it's good. 28-34, San Diego State by 14. The Tigers are having problems. Bobby Willis bounced past the shoulder to Kenny Hall in the right corner, outside to Tony Price. Tony looks for the open man, now puts up a jumper, it's up, no good. He gets his own rebound, tips it up again, no good, but we have a foul call. Foul is called, I believe, on Malovic.
Well, that one may be on Getz as he was covering Price on the play. Foul is on Getz, and that's his first as far as we're concerned. The scoreboard has two for him, but I think that is his first. Price will go to the line to shoot two free throws.
Okay, coming out of the ballgame is Ted Fleck, and coming back into the ballgame is Tom Leeson. Apparently, they feel Leeson will have a little more success under the board. He's a bit heavier and a bit stronger than Ted Fleck, although they both stand about the same in height. Fleck going about 6'7.5", and Fleck about 6'8", and Leeson about 6'8.5". Price hits the first free throw, and the Quakers now trail by 13. Make that 12 as Price is the second of two. 48-36, the Quakers trail by 12. A minute and a half remaining in the first half. Mike Dodd comes down court for San Diego State. At the top of the key, he puts up a shot. It won't go. Tips up by Malovic, won't go. Rebound put up by Dodd. It's good. 14-point lead again by San Diego State. They are really having a picnic outside. 50-36, they lead. Timmy Smith back in the ballgame, takes a seat for Bobby Willis. He lays it up good. 50-38, San Diego State by 12. A minute 12 remaining in the first half. Tony Gwynn brings the ball up court for San Diego State. Comes over to the right side. Feeds over to Kim Getz. Getz at the top of the key. Fakes, pops, good. 52-38. Oh, that man is tough. San Diego State leads by 14. Willis across the midcourt line for the Quakers. Looks for the open man. Feeds Timmy Smith in the right corner. Back outside to Tony Price. Price makes the jumper. Now lets it go. It's up. Won't go. Rebound pulled down by Dodd. got hit from behind by, I believe that was Kenny Hall. Check that, Bobby Willis, but we have a foul call.
Well, Willis got elbowed in the face and picked up a foul, which is an issue.
Paul, again, we want to remind our listeners that it is not our normal custom to come down on the officiating. Of course, there are the 20th games where the officiating left something to be desired. But in the two games that you and I have covered here in San Diego, it just amazes me how liberal the officials are as far as fouls underneath the basket. They do not call anything. The fouls are always called around midcourt between the two foul lines.
Well, I call that one underneath. But of course, you're not allowed to hit someone's elbow with your face. And so Willis picks up his second personal and gets to go to the line as the Quakers continue to be over the limit, as they will be for the remaining 47 seconds of this first half.
Okay, gets his both foul shots of the one-on-one. 54-38, San Diego State on top by 16. Willis comes up court for the Quakers. Feeds underneath to Leeson. Leeson's turnaround jumper is up. Well, it is good, off the glass. It looked like it was going to be a little hard. 14-point lead for San Diego State, 54-40, they lead. 30 seconds remaining in the first half. Gets across the midcourt line, beats over to Dodd. Dodd to the baseline, puts up a jumper, it won't go. We have a whistle and a foul is called.
Foul will be on Angelo Reynolds, I believe that, well, that'll be his second personal. And Dodd will go to the line to shoot 1-1 as Dodd tries to make a move to the basket. Reynolds holding his position, looking for help underneath from the big man. As Dodd went around him, there was a little contact. Angelo Reynolds picked up the foul. And once again, the Quakers, due to foul trouble, are forced to put in an inexperienced player. Both Angelo Reynolds and Tom Leeson seeing a lot of playing time due to foul trouble to Matt White, and also Bobby Willis, who's in the game but has two personals.
Okay, Dodd made the first shot. He gets the bonus now. Second free throw is also good. 56-40, San Diego State on top by 16. At one point, the Quakers failed by as few as five, but San Diego State has put on an 11-point run, and they now lead by 16. Tony Price goes back the other way for the Quakers. Sees underneath the Leeson on the drive, he scores. 56-42, the Quakers fell by 14. 12 seconds remaining in the half. Malovic in the backcourt drops it over Gwynn. Will pushes across the midcourt line. 5 seconds to go in the half. Gwynn to the top of the key. He's over there like Dodd. Dodd with 2 seconds to go forces the jumper. It won't go. And that's the way the first half ends. With the Quakers on the short end of a 56-42 score.
Well, Quakers start off the court. They're down by 14, and that's not the situation they wanted to be in. Perhaps their only hope of getting back into this ballgame is to come out with a flurry as soon as they start the second half. And that's typical for the Quakers. In the opening minutes of the second half, they have often been known to really pour it on, and that's the only problem is tonight they're going to have to do it if they even want to be into the ballgame. Before we start to run down the scoring, I'd like to read this announcement. If you'd like to meet some of the people who are making news in Philadelphia, get in on the Philadelphia Affairs Seminar, sponsored by the College of General Studies at the University of Pennsylvania. The seminar consists of non-credit lecture courses taught by people who are leaders in business, politics, scientific research, and the arts. Classes meet two or three times a month during March and April. For information, call 243-6479. That's the Philadelphia Affairs Seminar at 243-6479. Well, Don Ames, a disappointing first half for the Quakers following a disappointing loss last night. And as we mentioned, they're going to have to come up with a quick flurry at the very outset of the second half in order to get back into this ballgame. San Diego State, in the beginning of the game, was doing what they do best, causing turnovers and getting up court quickly to take advantage of them and making a lot of layups. And when they weren't getting layups off turnovers, they were giving the ball a... They were giving the ball to Getz, who was hitting from about 20 to 25 feet out. There's a spot right in front of us, just to the right side of the circle where we sit, and you might as well draw a circle around it and write a number 34 in it and not even bother to send him over there, because if he gets that shot from that spot, it doesn't look like he can miss.
No, that's for sure. He is just deadly from that spot. He had, I believe, if we can get the statistics from our friend here, Ronnie Smell, he had
12 points in the first half. He missed some shots earlier in the game, but had 5 field goals and 2 shots for the line for 12 points. But you mentioned our statistician, Ron Sale. He's a University of Pennsylvania student in the Wharton School of Submatriculant. He lives in Los Angeles and was able to come down for the second ball game. And we thank Mr. Sale for keeping statistics for us in the first half and hope he will continue his excellent work in the second.
Well, speaking of excellence, let's hope that the excellence of San Diego State, which they demonstrated in the first half, can be controlled somewhat by the Quakers, who really have had their problems in getting the ball underneath to their for the good shot. San Diego State has utilized is attacking zone defense underneath, closing up the passing lanes, and forcing the Quakers to go outside. Now, normally the Quakers are a pretty good shooting team on the outside. They're pretty good from the perimeter. But when you're trailing by as many points as the Quakers are, you like to get the good shots underneath, and you like to close the turnovers. The San Diego State has played very well, and they have not permitted the Quakers to do so as of yet.
That's very true, Don, and they're really playing the game that the Quakers normally like to play, cause the turnover and get up the court. And the Quakers, in trying to force that very same thing, only seemed to turn the ball over all or more. They found themselves down 9-0 in the very beginning of this ball game because they turned the ball over about the first five times that they had it. And you just can't do that and expect to win ball games unless you have very big people that you can go to inside, which the Quakers don't. They don't have the big people, so what they normally try to do is force turnovers from the other team, and they haven't been able to do that, and San Diego State has been very, very successful at doing it, so the result is our score at halftime, 56-42, the Aztecs lead.
Well, the Lakers find themselves in a position which they were in last night, falling behind early, trying to catch up, and then trying to maintain a lead if they ever get it. Last night, they fell behind against a tough Iowa team. They were tied at the half, check that, they were trailed at 44-40 at the end of the first half. Then they went on a good 8-point burst, and they were ahead by as many as 6, I believe, before Iowa was able to get the lead, and then the lead teased back and forth before it finally went into double overtime.
Okay, running down some of the scoring for the Quakers, Tony Price leads the way. We mentioned that he was telling Hilton Hall of San Diego, what are you doing covering me? Hall at 6'5 had his problems with Price, but a couple of other San Diego State Aztecs did as well, notably Ken Getz. Although Getz has been very hot from the outside, he has not been able to contain Price at the defensive end of the floor. Although to Getz's credit, he is probably in the game primarily as a shooter and not for his defensive expertise. Price had 19 points in the first half. Salters only 2. Tim Smith had 4 on 2 long patented right corner jumpers. But Timmy's going to have to get the ball a little more often in that type of situation, perhaps produce some more points. Not his fault, he hasn't had the shots to do it, but that's just almost a sign of how well the Quakers are doing offensively. How many open shots Tim Smith will get, and he really didn't have so many in the first half. We have him down for 2-for-3 shooting, and only 3 shots by Timmy in the first half is an indication that the Quakers might not be moving the ball around quickly enough to cause that open shot. Bobby Willis had 10 points, a lot of that on a little one-on-one, and also some nice 25-footers from way outside. A shot that Bobby has shown off and on in his 3 varsity years for the Quakers, and it's been on tonight. Kenny Hall contributed 3 points. Tom Leeson played a lot because Matt White has 3 fouls. Matt White did not score, but Leeson had 4 points. Vincent Ross, Angelo Reynolds, and Ted Flick also played in the first half but did not score. For San Diego, Don.
Okay, for San Diego State, Olivek had 13 points. He's the center, and he's the fellow that we said at the start of the broadcast is very tough on the outside. Olivek does it all for them. He gets the big rebound, does a good job of boxing out, and also is a very good touch from the outside. Mike Dodd had 15 points. Dodd, the other guard in the backcourt, along with Tony Gwynn. He does most of the shooting from the guard position for San Diego State, and they let Gwynn handle the ball for San Diego State. Gwynn had 6 points. He was 3-for-3 from the outside. But he really doesn't make himself offensively, except for the alert passing, which he does. He's very, very swift with the ball. Getz had 12 points. We mentioned him a few minutes ago. He is just deadly from the outside. The Fresno Gilbert, the physical forward for San Diego State, had 8 points. Cornish did not score. Hale had 2 points. Hilton Hale had 1 key vance underneath, taking a nice lead from Marcus Hamilton. Vance did not score, and Marcus Hamilton did not score.
Okay, Don, and it should be, we mentioned at the top of the broadcast the importance of Gwynn's ability to handle the ball, and he seemed to be shut down a little bit, especially when Bobby Willis covered him, but Dodd was more than able to pick up the slack, and while we questioned that at the top of the broadcast, it is a question mark no more. Dodd can handle the ball, as can some of the other big men that you normally wouldn't expect to handle the ball. To take time out from talking about the game, I was a little caught up watching the San Diego State cheerleaders myself when you handed things over to me. Let's talk about some upcoming broadcasts on WXPN, the station where you can hear all University of Pennsylvania basketball action. January 5th and 6th, we'll go to Harvard and Dartmouth. Airtime from Harvard is 7:45, and that's Eastern Standard Time. I don't have to make any mistakes tonight due to time zone differences. January 6th will be at Dartmouth the very next day. Airtime there, 7:15. Usually airtime will be 15 minutes before game time, so those are 8 o'clock and 7:30 starts, respectively, for actual tip-off time. there on January 10th, we'll be back at the Palestra as the Quakers face their second Big 5 opponent of the year and probably their toughest in the Temple Owl. Airtime then 8:45 on January 10th versus Temple. Then the last game that we'll be bringing you over vacation, or at least vacation for University of Pennsylvania students, will be Saturday, January 13th from Jadwin Gym at Princeton. Airtime there 7:45, 8 o'clock tip-off time, and then University of Pennsylvania students will be back in school, and I'm sure our other listeners in Philadelphia will have been around all along. Our first game after we come back is another Big 5 contest, St. Joe's, which is on January 16th, airtime 8:45 p.m.
Well, I might mention that St. Joe's last night played the Terrapins of the University of Maryland and played very well in losing 72-66. From what I understand for the people here in San Diego, St. Joe's held the lead at one point by as many as 4 points, but the Terrapins were able to come back and finally hold on for the win, a 6-point win. So the St. Joe's team has done a very good job in maintaining the good name that the Big Five has reestablished for itself in college basketball. You know, people were saying, what's wrong with the Big Five? Well, heck, there's nothing wrong with the Big Five. They played very well. We had 3 teams in the NCAA last year, and it wouldn't surprise me to see as many as...
was partially blocked by Tony Price. Salters comes quickly ahead the other way. Sends into the near corner for Willis, back outside to Salters. Salters now looks to cut inside, holds at the top of the key, passes over for Willis in the far corner, holds with one hand, now dribbles it out himself, bounce pass inside for Smith. He has trouble with it, now holds on and sends back into the corner for Salters. Salters dribbles out front, sends into the corner for Smith, 20-footer, no good, rebound pass by Willis to White, who misses the shot, no good, rebound taken by Price. Price sends over to Smith, who sends it back to Salters. Salters now dribbles along the far side, sends back outside for Smith at the top of the key. He hands to Willis on the far side. Willis looking for a man inside as the Aztecs play a man-to-man defense. Smith now has it on the near side, passes over to Salters. Inside for Price, looks to make a move. He's double-teamed and fouled as his shot is blocked by Jets. So Price will go to the line, I believe, to shoot two.
Well, Paul, you might... It was pleasing to see the Quakers take some type of control on the board there, as they had 3 chances to score on this touchdown court before Price was fouled.
Quakers have that not-to-be-denied look in their eyes, and I hope that's a good sign as Tony Price shakes his head, wondering why he didn't make that mumblesome words of President Al Gilbert, and now he gets set to put up his first free throw. It's good.
Well, Gilbert is badgering Price a little bit. Price looks at him in the eye, and both appear to be a little annoyed at each other.
Official says, let's cut the chatter, and Price has 20 points now in the ballgame. Make that 21 as he makes good on the second of the free throws. With 18:20 remaining in the ballgame, Quakers trail 60-44. Price steals the ball from Gwynn on the inbound, but it's called for a foul. So the Aztecs will keep it. The Quakers now in a full court press, and the Quakers very quickly pick up their first team foul of the second half.
Okay.
Price picks up his second personal foul. Aztecs are able to successfully inbound, but Gwynn is in trouble. Now he breaks loose, hands over to Gilbert. Gilbert has to dot. Dot back over to Jets. Jets, 20-footer, yes. And the Aztecs just move it great on the fast break as they work against the press. Salters comes the other way for the Quakers. He hands to Willis in the near corner. Willis sends back out for Salters. Salters working the top of the key against Dodd. Passes now for White in the far corner. Back outside to Smith. Bullet pass inside for White. Good give and go. White with the reverse. Lays it up and in. Matt White gets his first 2 points of the ball game. Quakers still on full court press. They trail 62-46. Dodd comes the other way for the Aztecs. Over to Jets. Gets inside to Malnick. Lays it up and in. So once again, the Quaker press is ineffective and results in an easy basket for the Aztecs. They take a 64-46 lead. Salters over to Willis. Willis in the near corner. Looks to drive. Goes into the lane. Passes inside to White. Lays it up and in.
Beautiful feed there by Bobby Willis. He spotted Matt White. White all, but Bobby had the shot, but Matt had the better one, and he set it underneath the mat.
Dodd trying to break the pass. Hands over to Getz. Getz, 20-footer. Yes! And Jim Getz is just hitting from outside like there's no tomorrow. He can't miss, and the Quakers are going to have to put a leash on him if they want to stop him. Salters comes the other way for the Quakers. 66-48, Aztecs lead. Salters passes inside off the hands of White, now off the hands of Dodd, who slaps it back into bounds as he saves it. Lead pass for Getz, who lays it up and in. Getz on the fast break, converts once again, and here comes Salters for the Quakers, so their pressure tactic not working so far. Willis looks to drive lane, loops it inside for White, who lays it up and in. And once again, Bobby Willis is able to dish off easily after drawing a crowd when he goes into the lane. Inbound pass for the Aztecs comes over to Gwynn. Gwynn handles it as he crosses the midcourt line. He's double-teamed by Willis and Salters. Now controls, passes back for Malnick. Malnick to the far side. Gets 30-footer. Yes!
Hey, Jets has almost no range. Jets is shooting from all over the place. That's got to be out of almost anybody's range, but he converted nonetheless. 70-50, Quakers down by 20. Tony Price now has it at the foul line. Price passes over for Tim Smith on the far side. Now it's over to Willis. Willis inside for White, lays it up and in again. The Quakers getting the easy baskets, but they're giving up the easy baskets at the other end. They trail by 18, 70-52, 16-12 remaining in the ball game. Fast-paced action, but it's not doing the Quakers any good. The Aztecs, however, want to talk things over as Kenny Hall and Ted Slick get set to check in for the Quakers.
Well, I think what San Diego is going to talk over is the number of times the Quakers have gone to Matt White in the first few minutes here in the second half. White has been the man, as I said, that the Quakers have it going to, and he's been able to score a couple of easy baskets. Now, what the Quakers will have to do is try and shut down the passing lanes a little bit for San Diego State. They moved the ball around very well. Two times they had a fast break, and on each occasion, the players never put the ball on the floor. They pass to the open man, boom, 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 and they were able to get the easy basket. They do not waste the opportunity.
I think the Quakers are better off going into a zone defense. When they go into the press, San Diego State has been killing them because it's almost like a fast break for them. So I think the Quakers would be better off sending a single guard up the pressure wing and leaving the forwards back, because the forwards have been beaten down the floor time and time again. You're exactly right. This is San Diego State's ball game, moving and passing the ball as soon as you get it to the open man. And when you have the full court press, well, that's the name of the ball game. You leave an open man, and you hope that the other team can find him. San Diego State finds him every time, and they've got an open shot after open shot, and Jets is leading the way. He has 8 points already in the second half to give, bring his total for the game to 20, and those were four bombs, son. Four bombs from way downtown, and almost any spot on the floor, 25, that last one had to be almost 30 feet out.
Well, he's got a radar for range, that's for sure. He just drops them in from all over. San Diego State on top by 18, 70-52, with 16:08 remaining in the second half.
Flick and Hall in for the Quakers, as I mentioned. Willis and Smith take a seat. Also in for San Diego is number 32, Kevin Cornish, will be in the front court. Jets now has it for San Diego. Over to Fresnel Gilbert, open 20-footer, hands it.
Well, Gilbert has demonstrated that he can score from the outside, although he likes to stay underneath.
Salters comes for the red and blue, over to Kenny Hall, back outside to Salters, over to Matt White, bullet pass inside for Hall. Hall sees Flick at the foul line, goes up with a running one-hander, no good, rebound pulled down by Price, goes up with a hook shot, drops through.
Nice play there by Kenny Price. He was able to send off a couple of aztecs, go up for the rebound, and then put it home.
Quakers do exactly what I suggested. They abandon the full court press and go to pressure the guard. Ball comes over to Jets on the near side. Out to Malavik. Malavik 20-footer, and if you get a center who can shoot like that, you're in pretty good shape, and it seems San Diego State is putting everything in the basket that they throw up in the air. Salters comes the other way, holds up now, passes out the Hall at the top of the key. He takes the bomb from there. No good rebound. Salters puts it up. No good rebound. White taps it in.
White has scored four baskets here in the second half, and he is certainly five baskets, excuse me. He has 10 points in the half, and he's doing a fine job of getting the Quakers, trying to get the Quakers back into the game.
So far, it's Pinella Vale. The Quakers trail by 18. Matt White ties up Malavik, and there's going to be a jump ball. Matt White has won both of the jump balls against Malavik. He made a smart defensive play there as Malavik held the ball close to his body. Matt White reached in and just pressed it in and tied it up.
Okay, 14:55 remaining in the second half, and the Quakers on the short end of a 74-56 score.
Official goes for the head fake, and both players jump prematurely, but now that comes the regular toss. Matt White controls over to Kenny Hall. Loose pass in for Matt White. White goes up against Malavik, shot no good, and the rebound is pulled down by Cornish, and it goes off the leg of Matt White as he hustles back on defense and out of bounds. It'll still be Aztec ball.
White really giving it the good effort here tonight.
Cornish and Gwynn will work in the backcourt. Now, I mentioned I thought Matt White played his best game in a Quaker uniform last night. He was not heard from in the first half scoring-wise, but has come back here in the second. Quakers in on tight man-to-man defense. Ball comes over to Fresnel Gilbert. He puts up a shot that is no good, but he's fouled. And the foul is going to be on Tony Price. Hacking a foul on the wrist, and Gilbert will go to the line and shoot two shots. That's the third personal foul on Tony Price. So that's two front court players for the Quakers, Price and White. They're now playing with three personals at this early time in the second half.
Well, San Diego State really plays a good team game. You notice that many times when they get the shot is over to the pick of a teammate. In that case, Fresnel Gilbert was shooting over the pick of the center and teammate Steve Malavik. Malavik set the wicked pick.
Both free throws are good. Salters comes the other way. 76-56, that takes up again by 20. Price gets the ball, wheels, and puts up the turnaround, but a foul. And Price will get even a little bit with Fresno. Gilbert, as Gilbert picks up the foul, his second. Price will go to the line to shoot two shots. Bobby Willis checks back into the game for James Salters.
Okay, but again, we'd like to point out that San Diego State has never been in foul trouble in any... throughout the ballgame, San Diego State has not been in foul trouble, whereas the Quakers have had their problems staying out of foul trouble.
Very healthy 20-point lead for the Aztecs. Just cut to 19 as Price makes good on the first of the free throws. Price has 24 points on the night. Make it 25 as he makes good on the second. Brief whistle as we're going to straighten out the net, but with 14-17 remaining, the Quakers trail by 18. 76-58, Paul Rizutek here along with Don A.
Fresno Gilbert gets set to the basket for San Diego State. The net was caught around the rim, and that's why the time delay after the free throws by Price.
Quakers back in a full court press, but Gwynn beats it easily over to Malvick. Malvick comes left for the 10-footer. No good. Rebound by Willis. Willis looking to break the other way, taking it himself across the midcourt line. Switches direction. Lee Casper White off his hands. Back to Price. Price 10-footer from the baseline. Rounds the rim. No good. Rebound pulled down by Malvick. Tough rebound inside by Malvick. Fields quickly ahead for Gwynn. Gwynn pulls up at the foul line. Now shoots over to Cornish. Cornish 10-footer from the baseline. No good. He gets his own rebound off the tap end. Blades it up and in. And he goes into the lane. And a foul is called. Continuation. It's head flick. Foul Cornish going into the lane. Well, I think it's going to be an offensive foul. Offensive foul on Cornish. And he took the shot well after he picked up the offensive foul. And there's no continuation if it's an offensive foul. It's only if it's a defensive foul.
Well, the greater concern is Kenny Hall laying face down on the court. He's got a finger, I believe, in the eye. And he is down, and he's really writing the pain right now as the coaching staff and trainer Phil Smythe have come down to assist him.
That was Hilton Hall, that was taking a shot and making that move. So it's Hilton Hall that gets the bucket. That counts, not Cornish. Hall picks up his first personal, I believe, on the offensive foul.
Coaches and trainer Phil Smythe are still attending to Kenny Hall. Hall is getting up on his rear end now, but he's got his back off the floor, and he's being attended to. When he first went down, he really looked bad. He seems to be coming around a little bit now. Coach Weinhauer taps him on the shoulder and now heads back towards the bench. So apparently Kenny Hall is going to be okay.
Weinhauer immediately leaps to his feet and ran a length of the court to check out Kenny Hall, who limps off the floor now. He's holding his face and limping, so maybe he had a double injury there. But the point I was going to make is not a lot of coaches will get up and go down to the far end of the floor. Some of the coaches like to leave that to the trainers. But Weinhauer was immediately on his feet and down the floor. And Kenny Hall appears to be all right, just shaken up. So Bobby Willis will inbound for the Quakers at the other end.
The way Kenny went down, he had to be concerned because he went down with something like a lead brick, which is dropped to the floor. He just went down boom.
Willis will work in the backcourt with Angelo Reynolds, Ted Flick, Tony Price, and Matt White up front. Price has it over to Reynolds. Reynolds goes over the top of the head, back inside to White, who makes the move to the baseline. Bank shot, no good. Rebound pulled down by Malik, has it stripped from him by White. And White is furious as he called for a foul, and now a technical foul.
Well,
and, I don't know what White said, but it's a technical foul, no doubt about it. He must have said something bad because the official immediately flashed the tee. They show the third personal on Matt White, but we've got that as his fourth.
Well, the frustration's had to be mounting inside Matt White. He's really been taking a beating underneath the basket. Nothing's called. And then he goes in, and then reaches in, makes a more or less innocuous move towards the ball, and he's calling for his fourth personal foul. At least that's the way they have it on the scoreboard. So White is fine with the technical after showing his frustration, and to take the technical foul shot for San Diego State is their center, Ray Malibu.
White gritting his teeth in obvious anger as he picks up his fourth personal. 13 foul for the Quakers. Malik misses the team foul with that technical foul shot, which gets a hand from the Penn band. Perhaps the only Quaker fans here tonight except for you and I, Don, and we can't cheer because it doesn't go over the air very well.
Well, San Diego State is asking side to it.
Fresno Gilbert controls for the Aztecs. Bounce pass over to Dodd. He's immediately double-teamed. Now he's watched by Reynolds. It comes over to Hal. Hal over to Malavik. Malavik back out to Hal. Over to Gwynn. Gwynn looks to drive. Puts up the 15-footer. No good. Rebound fought for. It goes out of bounds off the hands of Dodd, and it'll be Quaker ball.
Again, White with body doesn't make the boards by Fresno Gilbert. You don't want to kind of be done this, but like I was saying, he is really taking a beating in the air, and he's not getting any help from the officials.
Tony Price goes baseline the other way, has nowhere to go, gives it back to Reynolds. Reynolds has no place to go, sends out for Flick, 20-footer from the top of the key. Yes.
Okay, Fletcher scores his first 2 points of the evening, and that gives San Diego State a 78-60 lead.
First 2 points of Fletcher's varsity career, I believe. His win comes the other way for the Aztecs. 78-60, they enjoy a healthy 18-point lead with 12:46 remaining in the game. Wynn throws the ball away down the other end of the court, and Hale touches it for the Aztecs, but that's back court, and the Quakers will inbound down at their own end. As Ted Flick and Hale were in a meaningless race for the ball, all Hale wanted to do was make sure that Flick didn't get a layup. Willis now controls for the Quakers. He holds over the top of the head, over to Ted Flick. Flick sends back outside for Reynolds. Reynolds passes back over to Matt White. White goes cross-court for Willis. Willis looks to make a move. Does. Gets to the baseline. 15-footer. Yes.
That was
Bobby Willis.
Bobby Willis.
Free jumper from the outside for Bobby Willis. And he has 12 points. His first two of the second half. 12-19 remaining. 78-62 Aztecs lead. Win over to Dowd. Dowd holds over the top of the head, being watched by Reynolds. Sends back out for Gwynn. Gwynn sends over to Malavik on the far side. Holds over the top of the head, now hands to Dodd. Dodd back outside for Hale, who sends way outside for Gwynn, and Gwynn will start things over. He's watched by Bobby. We'll have Quakers in a man-to-man defense. Gwynn now working the far side, loops it in for Gilbert. Turnaround jumper against Price. Yes, pretty shot by Gilbert. Nice soft touch from the baseline on the turnaround. Long lead pass for Ted Flick for Bobby Willis. Lays it up and in. Beautiful alert move by Bobby Willis. Nice hustle by Ted Flick. Quakers close to within 16, 80-64 the score. 11:39 remaining. Here comes Gwynn for the Aztecs. Pass goes over to Hale, and a foul is called away from the ball. I believe it's going to be on Reynolds, pushing off on Dodd, but we'll wait for the indication.
You're right, Paul. The foul was called on Angela Reynolds. That's his third of the team's choice. And the Quakers, although they are not in a serious foul trouble as far as the team is concerned in the second half, you just do not like to see the fouls mount because the way the officiating has been going against the Quakers, you know that more fouls are going to be coming their way.
Neeson comes in for the Quakers and replacing Matt White. Jets also comes back in for the Aztecs. Dodd controls for the Aztecs. He has the ball knocked out of bounds by Timmy Smith, and it'll still be Aztec ball. Into the game also for the Aztecs is Marcus Hamilton, number 20. Bobby Willis checks out, and he's replaced by James Salter. Jets gets set to inbound for the Aztecs. Hands it to Dodd. Dodd goes cross-court back to get 20-footer baseline. Oh, he missed one. And a rebound controlled by Angelo Reynolds. That's big news as Jets misses a shot. Reynolds keeping it himself. Hands to Timmy Smith in a far corner. Back to Reynolds. Looks to make a move over to Salters. Looks to make a move. Passes inside for Smith. Reverse layup is blocked by Malavik. And he says, I can't believe that, but I do. And Smith will go to the line and shoot two shots as he was absolutely hacked by Malavik.
That's for sure. He came right off the top of Smith, hit him in the head, and he went to block the shot. And then he looked at the official, and four of us was asking, what, who, me? You know, really, how much can you ask for? 80-54, San Diego State leads by 16. And 11-7 remaining in the ballgame.
Malavik picked up his second personal, and checking into the ballgame, replacing Malavik, is Chris Holden, number 50, and that's the first time we've seen him. Smith makes good on the first of the free throws. Perhaps Aztec coach Tim Vesey believes that he can put in a few players that don't normally play. Smith makes good on the second, so the Quakers close to within 14. No danger for the Aztecs yet. Hamilton has the ball. He ends quickly to Dodd. Dodd looks to drive. Sends way outside for Jets. Jets cans another 25-footer, and that guy is just unbelievable. He was silenced in the second half against Stanford last night, but has not been silenced at all here. And once again, the lead goes to 16, 82-66. Ed Poole checks into the ballgame for Ted Flick as they allow the substitution before the inbound.
Okay, 82-66, San Diego State on top by 16. The Quakers have made somewhat of a run that San Diego State led by as many as 20, but they're having their difficulties getting it to under 16 points.
Walter sees Poole back outside to Reynolds. He hands to Smith. Smith back over to Reynolds, looks to put it up, does not. Hands instead to Poole, 15-footer off the front of the rim, and he gets his own rebound. Looks to drive now, lays it up off the rim, no good. Leeson with the foul, but a foul was called, and well, that's an offensive foul. That's interesting. So the Aztecs will take the ball, and if I'm being sarcastic, I can't help it. It's Poole's first foul of the ball game, and the fifth team foul on the Quakers, and Hamilton will inbound from the forward position. He hands to Gwynn, who will handle it in the backcourt. He's watched by Salter. Quakers in the man-to-man. Gwynn working at the top of the key, passes over for Jett. Gets bounce pass inside for Dodd, who looks to make a move. His double team sends it back out for Getz. Getz puts up a 20-footer. Yes. And that guy is just incredible. 24 points for Tim Getz. Salters comes the other way for the Quakers. Looks to cut into the lane. Hands over and sets the Cool 20-footer. Rounds the rim. No good. Won't go.
And a foul is called on Tom Leeds, and Chris Holden controls the rebound for the Aztecs. And that will be the sixth team foul on the Quakers. And then we're going to see a lot of one-and-ones in this game because there's 10:08 remaining in the ballgame, and the Quakers are in danger of going over the limit. Tony Price gets set to check back in. He does, replacing Tom Leeson.
Paul, I was going to say, if you let that fella get a free shot from the outside, you may as well concede the 2 points because he is just deadly from that spot on the outside. 10:04 remaining in the ballgame as the Quakers fail by 16 points.
Just tries to pass inside. He probably should have shot it. It's intercepted by Smith. And Angela Reynolds brings it up for the Quakers very quickly. Goes to the foul line, passes over for Cool. Cool takes yet another shot and misses another. Rebound is taken by Hamilton. He feeds it ahead quickly for Gwynn. Gwynn holds up at the top of the key. Pitches into the lane now, lays it up, has it blocked by Frank, but the loose ball is taken by Smith, and a foul is called. And the foul is going to be on the Aztecs' number 20, Marcus Hamilton. So the Quakers will come down the other end. Marcus Hamilton picks up his second foul. Second personal foul, and the Quakers win down at side court. Bobby Willis and James Salters will work the back court. First personal, excuse me, for Hamilton. And into the game for Gwynn is Jimmy Ransom at the guard position. Gwynn leads with 6 points, none in the second half. Gets a big hand from the crowd nonetheless as he's been running things for the Aztecs. So, Willis passes ahead to Smith. Smith now over to Price. Price holds over the head and hands back to Willis in the near corner. Willis looks to go baseline but is now double-teamed. Bounce pass outside for Salters. Salters drives and now hands to Smith. Smith, 20-footer off the side of the rim, no good. Rebound by Willis, who tries to save it, but passes instead to Hamilton. Hamilton goes quickly ahead on the fast break. Dodge gets it and lays it up and in. Dodge gets that bucket there. Jimmy Ransom also into the ballgame, as I mentioned, and a foul is called for Dodge. That's 17 points, his first bucket in the second half. 86-66. Once again, the lead is up to 20, and things aren't looking good for the Quakers. Ted Flick comes back into the game replacing Eddie Cool, and the Quakers don't make a move almost immediately. This one's over.
Bobby Willis is a little annoyed with himself. He tried to save the ball by beating it to Tony Price. Instead, the ball was picked up by Glenn, who set it down short to Dodd. Dodd scored the easy 2 points, and that can't give him the foul shot to give him a 3-point play and a 21-point lead. San Diego State's biggest lead of the night.
Dodd gets 18 points with that free throw. Flick takes a shot from the corner. No good. Rebound chased by Smith. Passes inside for Price. Price goes up. Won't throw, and the rebound's fought for by Flick. He tries to tackle, gets him high. In fact, the other way for the Aztecs comes Ransom. Ransom feeds inside for number 50, Chris Holden, who tries to dunk it, but he's slobbered by Tony Price. Then obvious foul, and Holden will go to the line and shoot two shots. Price a little shaken up. Holden snapped his head back while he took that dunk shot, and Tony caught the back of Holden's head in his face. But foul nonetheless will be on Price. I believe his fourth personal foul. That is his fourth. Tony a little shaken up, and Quakers in serious foul trouble. So if they should make a run, they would not be in good shape foul-wise.
Paul, on that play, Hamilton went up, and as he came down, he grabbed the rim with both hands. The Penn coaching staff is up in arms now because they feel that a technical foul should be called against Hamilton. It is illegal in college basketball to grab the rim, and Hamilton grabbed the rim with both hands. It was obvious from our seat here that he had the rim with both hands, and nothing has been called.
Well, he was fouled on the play, and very often, if you're fouled, the officials are going to let holding the rim go, which they do here. I believe that's probably the reason. I'll come to the defense of the officials in this case.
But the Quaker coaching staff, they are just living with anger right now because they really feel, well, you can't blame them for feeling that way, that the officiating has been a bit one-sided.
Well, when you're 21 points down, something more is going wrong than the officiating. The Aztecs have called timeout if you're wondering what the holdup is. Bob Weinauer goes to talk to the official again, but he gets no satisfaction. You very seldom coup from officials, although, well, we don't normally see officials change calls, but probably if there was any place in the country that it would be happening, this would be the place. But at any rate, the Quakers are talking things over once again, and they've got a lot to talk over. With 8:48 remaining in the ballgame, they trail 87-66. Paul Rzucek here, along with Don Ames, and it has not been a happy ballgame for the Quakers. They were at it almost from the beginning. They trailed very early, 9-0. Trailed by 13 at halftime. That lead quickly expanded to 20, and is now at 21 after the Quakers have cut it briefly to 14.
Well, the Quakers have had their problems, as you said, Paul, and this has been a tournament which I guess the Quakers would like to remember. I might point out that Quakers have had difficulties in past years in Christmas tournaments. Last year they came in third, the year before they came in fourth at the Madison Square Garden. As the Tucker, Joe Pandolfi mentioned last night when I spoke with him, Pandolfi being a loyal Penn alumnus, The Quakers might just as soon give up the idea of playing a Christmas tournament because they really have not had much success during these holiday tournaments.
Well, I don't think you can look at your success in the tournaments and say you're going to give them up. If you want to be a major college basketball team, you've got to go into the tournament schedule, and this is a good tournament, really, and I think the Quakers will probably look back on it and be happy they were in it, although they didn't have much success. Holman makes good on the first, misses the second. Wolf comes the other way, goes right to the basket, puts up a reverse shot that is blocked, but he's fouled inside as Holden got all of Bobby Willis and maybe a little bit of the ball, but you can't get all of Bobby Willis while you're getting the ball. So Willis will get two shots from the line. Quakers have their starting lineup on the floor, so maybe they're going to try to make a run. With their 22 points down, they don't have all that much hope with 8:38 remaining in the ballgame, however.
Okay, well, it's not. At least they're trying to make it somewhat respectable. It's not like the middle of the ballgame replacing Ted Fleck.
We talked to Tom Crowley before the game, and one thing he insisted on was that this year's edition of Quaker basketball does not give up no matter what the score is. Willis makes good on the first of the free throws, misses the second. Quakers go into his zone, presses the guards, come up front. Ranson handling the ball, sends over for Dodd. Dodd has it stolen away by Smith. Now it's picked up by Salters. Salters goes into the lane, goes up, has a shot blocked by Ranson, but a foul is called. And the foul is going to be, however, on Marcus Hamilton from behind, I believe. We'll wait for the indication.
Okay, Salters got a nice move there in stealing the ball. Ranson came up from behind and slapped Salters on the wrist when Salters made the move towards the hoop, and hence the foul was called. Salters goes to the line for two shots.
Scoreboard going a little bit spastic, but all of the eight numbers they have had up on the board all started with a two, and the only, well, the play one player with a two in his number is Marcus Hamilton, and I think the foul was on him. His second personal as we have it, but they don't even have the player up, so I'm not going to even tell you what the scoreboard says. Salters makes good on the first of the free throws. He'll get another. And he also cans that one. Salters has only 4 points on the night. A disappointing performance from Matt Penzard as far as points go. Quakers now in a full court press. Hamilton breaks it and hands over for Ranson. Ranson over to Jett. Gets back to Ranson, who's watched by Salters. Ranson now wheels and goes with the bounce pass to Jett, who is double-teamed by Smith. Now Ranson feeds over to Dodd. Dodd back out to Ranson, over to Malavik. Malavik passes inside for Jett, who has his shot blocked by Smith, but Smith is called for a foul and gets to go to the line to shoot two shots.
Well, that puts the Quakers over the limit, and San Diego State will be shooting 1-1 from here on in. Malavik, check that Jett has been deadly from the outside, and he's just as deadly from the foul line. This kid just has a great touch from the outside.
For Timmy Smith, his third personal, Jett will get two shots. First one drops through and it's good, so forget that 25 points, and as we told you, he's had just an incredible night shooting from the floor. In the second half, he has 6 field goals, and I think he missed one, as I made a sarcastic comment before. Jett makes good on the second, Salters comes the other way for the Quakers, bounce pass over for Willis. Willis now holds, he's on the near side, finally goes cross-court to Price, he moves into the lane, dishes off the mat, right, leaves it up and in. Nice play by Tony Price, unselfish pass to White. And White picks up his 14th point of the ball game. The other way comes Ranson. Ranson takes a 15-footer and drops it. Nice outside touch by Ranson. And Ranson gets his first 2 points of the ball game after missing five shots in the first half. Salters comes the other way, takes a shot, it's hacked from behind with no call. Rebound goes out of bounds off the hands of Malavik, and Matt White really should have picked up a foul there, but they let almost anything go underneath. So the Quakers will take the ball, and Matt White grins quietly to himself. A little bit of justice there, but way too late as the Quakers trail by 21, 92-72 the score, 7:21 remaining. Bobby Willis holds it on the near side. He bounces for Price. Price has it knocked out of his hands by Marcus Hamilton, and it'll still be Quaker ball. Tim Smith will inbound here on the near side right in front of us. Smith looks for Willis and gives it to him at the top of the key. He works against Dodd, fires it inside for Smith, who has his shot blocked nicely by Jett. But James Salters gets the rebound and puts up a 15-footer from the baseline. 6 points for James Salters. Hamilton will come the other way. He now gives it to Dodd. Quakers back in a full court press. Bobby Willis and James Salters doing the work. Ranson spins around Salters, however, holds up at the top of the key now. Looks for Jett, bounce pass to him, 20-footer, rounds the rim, no good, he missed it, but Hamilton gets the rebound. Hamilton looks to drive, has the ball stripped away by Price, but now Hamilton gets it back, puts up a shot, and it's fouled.
Well, a lot of contact underneath the basket there, as Malavik was going towards the hoop. A lot of bodies flying around, and they finally blew the whistle, the referees did, and saw the foul. Tony Price comes out of the ballgame for the Quakers, and coming in to replace them by, well, James Buckley coming out too. Coming in to replace Tony. Let's see who they're going to bring in now. The Bakers have only 4 men on the court. They're taking their time.
Well, Bryce is fouled out of the ball game. Bob Weinauer has a minute to bring a new player into the game, and he'll probably take that. And he's talking to coaches Dennis Jackson and Bob Sack, so they'll wait just a second. You mentioned a lot of contact on the last play. Ted Slick will be the replacement for Tony Price. And you're absolutely right, Don. The players know what kind of game is being called after a time, and they're just hacking all over the place. Every once in a while, one gets called. There had to be 7 or 8 fouls that could have been called before Tony Price was finally called for them. The 7 or 8 distributed fairly evenly over both teams as they scrambled for the loose ball. But, you know, that the players, once they see that they can get away with a lot, will just start hacking all over the place, and the officials will call in here and there, and it's not keeping anybody out on it.
Well, I guess the Quakers have more or less conceded the lead. They're down by 20 with 6 minutes and 42 seconds to go. They realize that they're really not going to have too much success here in San Diego, especially with the officiating, and they just may as well play for pride now.
Hamilton makes the first, misses the second. Jets checks out of the ballgame, a fine 26-point effort. Bobby Willis comes the other way for the red and blue. He wheels into the lane, passes it to Timmy Smith, and it goes off the hands of Hamilton, who exchanged blows with Smith, but I don't think the officials saw that. Nonetheless, it'll be Quaker ball. Willis gets set to inbound. Has trouble finding someone now, gets it over to Hall, but it's off the hands of Dodd, who is standing out of bounds, and so it'll still be Quaker ball. They'll try to inbound again.
You have to give the San Diego team a lot of credit, Paul. They do a good job of denying the opposition the ball.
Willis gets it in for Smith. Smith out high to Matt White. Matt White gets it back to Bobby Willis. He fires inside for White, who's mugged. Puts up a shot. It drops any foul. Yes, and it counts. They even called a foul on that one as Matt White banked it home from about 8 feet out. Matt White has 14 points in the ball game. Foul is on Hamilton once again. So that's 3 personals in a short time that he's played. And even as loose as they call him, Hamilton picks up a lot in a hurry.
Okay, even though this tournament has been somewhat of a disappointment for the Quakers, one bright spot has been the play of Matt White. Matt had 16 points, I believe, in last night's game, and now has 15 points, and he gets the foul shot here.
Matt White has certainly distinguished himself, as has Tony Price, with 2 26-point performances. I don't know if he'll be back again tonight. Hamilton controls the other way. Ransom fires it inside off the hands of Matt White, but Hamilton gets the lucky break. Now White steals it away, but his pass is intercepted by Hamilton. Hamilton drives the lane the other way, lays it up against White, and it goes in. Matt White, long lead pass is intercepted by Ransom, so his hands make him over. And the shot is no good, and the rebound is taken by Bobby Willis, who starts up court and is belted from behind by Dodd. The ball goes out of bounds, and it's got to be Quaker ball, I think. And Matt White threw the ball away twice. He's unhappy with himself, but things are going to get just a little bit ragged. Into the ballgame for San Diego is Hilton Hale. He'll join Ransom in the backcourt. Smith now hands it to Willis. Willis wheels on Ransom, pulls up at the foul line, passes inside for Smith. He drops the 5-foot hook shot. Nice play by Timmy Smith. He has 7 points in the ballgame, also well below his average. All 5 Quaker starters were averaging in double figures coming into this tournament. Hale is working against the double team. Now he hands over to Ransom. Ransom sends back for Hale over to Dodd. 3 guards in the ballgame for the Aztecs. Hale now back over to Ransom. Ransom holds at the top of the key. Now he dribbles out, being watched by Hall. Back over to Hamilton. Inside from Hale, the 15-footer baseline. Yes.
Well, when you have the big man who has as fine a touch from the outside as San Diego State does, it's Steve Malovic, you're going to win a lot of games, but they're going to do just that here. They lead by 19 points with 5 minutes and 11 seconds to go.
San Diego State, very unhappy that they lost last night. I don't believe that they deserved to win. They were lucky to be in the ballgame. The officials really kept them in it. But they're a very good team, and you can't take anything away from them here tonight. James Salter's hands to Angelo Reynolds as that duo will work in the backcourt. They just checked in for the Quakers. Pass comes back out to Reynolds. He looks to make a move, gets to the far corner, bounce pass in for White, but he has it taken away by Malovic. Hale controls now for the Aztecs. He hands over to Ransom, and Ransom will bring it up against Reynolds. Spins away, gets across the midcourt line, hands back to Hale. Hale over to Hamilton, back outside for Dodd. Off the hands of Timmy Smith and out of bounds, it'll still be Aztec ball with 4:39 remaining, and the Aztecs enjoying a 97-78 lead. Vincent Roth and Tom Leeson get set to check into the ballgame as Bob Weinauer is giving a few people a chance to play. Matt White and Ted Flick will sit down. Eddie Poole now getting set to check into the ballgame, and I imagine he'll come in for Timmy Smith, and Tim Smith does indeed come out, and Bob Weinauer gives him a hand.
Okay, well, the Quakers have more or less had this one's by the board. 4:39 is 2 seconds remaining in the game, and the Quakers on the short end of a 97-78 score.
Hamilton holds in the backcourt. Bounce passes over for Rampton. Rampton spins away from Reynolds. Pass comes back inside for Hamilton, who drives away and makes it up off the glass and in. And the bodies are flying all over the place, and I guess the officials just hope the clock will run out and they won't have to do anything else. Salters comes back the other way for the Quakers, over to Eddie Poole, who misses another shot. Goes off the front of the rim. Rebound taken by Hamilton. He controls himself over to Rampton. Rampton passes inside to Hal, who goes up for the dunk shot, but Vincent Ross denies him the dunk, and Hal will have to go to the line to shoot two shots.
This trip down court was another example of what we were saying about San Diego State's ability to move the ball very well. On that trip down court, again, not one Aztec handled the ball. Everything, the ball traveled exclusively via the pass. And you really like to see that on the fast break. They missed the shot, but going to the foul line for San Diego State will be Hilton Hale. Hale has two chances at the line.
Dennis Jackson also comes into the ballgame for the University of Pennsylvania. So it will be Jackson and Salters in the backcourt. Eddie Cool, Tom Leeson, and Vincent Ross up front. And that's one junior and a bunch of, well, one junior, a senior, Eddie Cool, who normally doesn't play that much, and three freshmen. Hal misses both free throws, and Vincent Ross takes the rebound. He hands quickly to Salters, 99-78 to score. Salters puts on a shake-and-bake bounce pass over to Cool. Cool inside for Leeson, and he's bumped inside by an Aztec, Kevin Cornish, who just checked into the ballgame. But the foul is on Hamilton nonetheless. They seem to like to call fouls on Hamilton, and he picks up his fourth personal.
Well, Hamilton really made his presence felt there as he really bodied Leeson. Leeson looked like a hockey player taking a hip check from behind. He was just blasted out of the lane by Hamilton.
Leeson will go to the line. He'll shoot 1-1 as the Aztecs are now also over the foul limit. But Leeson misses the first of the free throws, and Hamilton pulls down the rebound. He hands over to Cornish. Cornish sends back out for Rampton, over to Cornish, now back out for Rampton. Pull it pass inside for Hale, who lays it up, no good. Rebound Leeson, and then once again, all kinds of contact, no call. Here comes Salters. Salters over to Jackson, back to Eddie Poole. Poole puts up the 20-footer, yes! Finally, Eddie Poole hits one after missing five shots that we have. He's got his first 2 points of the ball game. Eddie Poole, a fine outside shooter, just a little bit off tonight. Cornish works the near side, and the Aztecs want timeout. Heaven knows why. 3:25 remaining in the ballgame. 99-80 the score. Aztecs lead by 19. Paul Rizutek here with Don Ames, and Don, it's just about time to run up 3:25 off the clock. Hope nobody gets hurt with all the mugging going on at both ends of the floor, and we can all go home here. We'll at least enjoy a very exciting final Iowa against Stanford. I like Stanford, Don.
I do, too. I think Stanford plays not to sound biased anyway, but I think Stanford plays a very intelligent game. They look for the open man, they get the good shot, they work the ball around, and they have a number of fine outside shooters, most notably Walt Perry, who was just dynamite in the upset of UCLA a couple of nights ago up at the Stanford campus. Iowa, on the other hand, is a team that plays a very physical game, and they were quite fortunate in going to the foul line as often as they did. I believe they went to the line 37 times against the Quakers last night and made 33 of those 37 attempts. And that, my friends, was the difference in the ball game, as they were able to go on for an 87-84 victory in double overtime. I agree with you, Paul. I think Stanford will be the 1978 winners of the Cabrillo Classic here in San Diego.
Well, Kevin Belton, who almost went to Penn, he played center for Stanford at least part of the time. He's really forward size at about 6'7". And he's built like a Mack truck. Paul Jovicki, their point guard, had a fine, fine shooting game yesterday, reminiscent almost of Tim Detz here tonight. But let's get back to this ball game. Cornish inbound for the Aztecs, gets it over to... Well, it comes back to Cornish. Cornish over to Hamilton as I lose it momentarily there. Hale now has it on the far side. He's being watched by Eddie Cool. Bounce pass in for Hamilton. Hamilton triple team sends it back outside. And working in the back part is Rampton. Rampton bounces it in off the hands of Hamilton and out of bounds. It'll be Quaker ball.
Well, Hamilton really is having his problems now as things just don't seem to be going his way. Quakers, more or less, as we said, playing for pride.
Jackson has it stolen away by Jimmy Rampton. Rampton goes the length of the court, lays it up, and it dribbles around the rim and in. David Jackson had the ball taken away. Excuse me, I said Dennis. That's the assistant coach for the Quakers. Jackson now bumps into Rampton, and a foul is called. And I believe the foul will be on Rampton. How about Rampton's second personal?
That it is, Paul. Rampton just stepped into David Jackson's way, and one of us got his due as he was knocked over by Jackson, who had a full head of steam and was looking to move further up court.
We talked about Bobby Wilson's sprained ankle at the top of the broadcast. Other Quaker injuries, one-to-one Paul Rizutek, who's talking right now, I have a sprained throat. is about as sore can be. And it might seem a little shaky here in the last couple minutes of the ball game. It's because we're down by the score of 101-80. I don't feel like telling you what's going on anymore, given the fact that it hurts so much to do it. Losing the ball at the other end of the floor for the Aztecs is Cornish, who dribbles on the sideline, and the official didn't think he could do that, neither did I. Jackson will inbound for the Quakers, and we're really going to go ragtag here, it looks like, for the last 2 minutes and 38 seconds. Jackson working against Ransom, gets to the baseline, drives himself, puts up a five-footer. It's no good. Rebound comes down to Hal, and Hal will control for the Aztecs. He'll bring it up himself. Now he hands to Ransom. Ransom working up the midcourt line against Jackson. Ransom bounce passes behind his back for Holden. Holden looks to send over to Hal. Hal goes bounce with a bounce pass inside to the baseline to a new player into the game, Jerry Brown, a center forward swingman at 6'8". But Brown, I think, is going to get called for an offensive foul there. We'll wait for the indication. Brown just checked into the ball game, as did Angelo Reynolds for the Quakers, and he'll work in the backcourt now with Jackson. Leeson, Vincent Ross, and Tom Condon will be the front line, and they all just came in. Reynolds hands a jumper from about 20 feet on the far side, and Reynolds has his first 2 points of the ball game. Ransom now goes the length of the court, puts up a 15-footer that drops. Hey, foul. So Ransom will get a chance to make a meaningless 3-point play with 1:52 remaining and the score 103-82. Aztecs lead by an impressive 21-point margin.
And Paul, just to erase any confusion that our listeners may have, Jerry Brown is just a member of the San Diego State Aztec team, and he is and has no relation to the governor of California, who has the same name, Jerry Brown.
Doesn't even look like him, and I don't think anybody in Mr. Jerry Brown, Governor Jerry Brown's family is 6'8 and 220, nor is a junior at San Diego State University. Ransom misses his free throw. Rebound is batted around and taken by Leeson. Leeson now hands to Reynolds, who races up the forecourt, gets to the baseline, puts up a 15-footer that goes off the side of the backboard, and obviously not through. Ransom will go all the way himself. He puts up a 15-footer, bounces around the rim and drops through. When it rains, it pours. The Aztecs are even winning the battle of the scrubs here. Jackson swings back the other way, hands over to Reynolds. Guess what? He's going to shoot, and he cans a 20-footer as the players are just getting the ball and shooting wherever they can. Aztecs will come back the other way. Ransom will control. Ransom will work against Reynolds. The official called a stoppage of play, a timeout called by the Aztecs. I saw no indication by Ransom, but apparently some other Aztec player signaled it elsewhere. I have no idea what Tim Veggie wants to talk over with 1:15 remaining and his team up by 21 points. Perhaps he fears that the Quaker cheerleaders haven't been out enough, and that's what they're going to do right now. So while I watch the Quaker cheerleaders, why don't you tell us why we're down by 21 points?
Well, I think the main reason why we're down by 21 points is that San Diego State has done a very good job hitting the open man. They move the ball very well in the forecourt. They are able to find openings outside against a team that plays the zone effectively as the Quakers do. But it is their ability to move the ball around quickly and precisely, which has enabled them to build up the 21-point lead, which they now hold over the Quakers with 1:15 remaining in the ball game.
Well, it really hasn't been a good trip out to the West Coast, Don. Not only has it been too cold to swim outside, we haven't had an indoor pool at the hotel, and the Quakers look as though they're going to drop both ball games here on the West Coast.
Other than that, it's been great, though, hasn't it?
Other than that, it's been just fantastic. Hale goes all the way for the Aztecs. He's putting on a dribbling exhibition and now finally hands over to Cornish. And a foul was called, and I believe will be on Jackson. Foul on Jackson, a hacking foul if he slapped the arm of Cornish, and Cornish will get to shoot a 1-1 with exactly 1 minute remaining.
Okay, this could be one of the longest minutes the Quakers will play, and that, with play being so ragged, there's a tendency to have a lot of fouls. Hopefully, each team will just allow the clock to run out, and we'll be able to put an end to this sorrowful display.
As I mentioned before, Don, I just hope nobody gets hurt. That's what you begin to hope at this point in the ball game. And Cornish makes good on both free throws, and Jackson comes the other way for the Quakers. Bounce pass inside for Ross. Ross wheels, and the ball goes flying all over the place. No call. Here comes Cornish. Cornish goes ahead for Hal. Lays it up in there.
Hal took a nice move there for Cornish and was able to drop it home. He was more or less unsuccessful when he put the shot up.
Jackson brings it back the other way for the Quakers over to Angelo Reynolds. Reynolds puts on a move, puts up a 20-footer, and it's good. Angelo Reynolds with a fine outside touch that he's shown us ever since the Wake Forest game has 3 field goals for 6 points in these last few minutes. Line pass comes over to a new player in the ballgame, Ken Blackman. Ken Blackman, a 6'3 guard at 180 pounds. He's a junior. Bounce pass goes in for Holden. Holden
shot is no good, and the rebound's taken by Leeson. Leeson cannot save it, however, and the ball goes back to Holden, who puts up a shot and a foul. The shot is good. The foul, I believe, will be on Vincent Ross, and Holden will get a chance to complete a three-point play. And with the Quakers down by 23 and 7 seconds remaining, you hope that after this foul shot, we'll just get things over with.
Well, Leeson comes out of the ballgame. He took a pretty good beating out there, and taking his place will be Todd Condon. Leeson, as I said, took a pretty good beating. After he tried to save the ball, he was hit from behind. But, of course, the referees didn't see that, but we're not going to belabor the issue anymore as far as the officiating here tonight. It has been somewhat powerful throughout our stay here in San Diego, and there's really not all that much you can say about it. The less said, the better, I guess.
Holden misses the free throw, and he's going to get another, which makes no sense to me, unless they say that he was fouled after the shot. Maybe the basket was no good. At this point, I really don't care. I'll tell you the score is 100-86, and I think that that's wrong. And it is, and we'll wait for the right score as Ted Flick takes a shot. It's no good. The final score is 110-86. The Quakers go down to defeat, a very disappointing defeat for the Quakers, but a defeat nonetheless. Aztecs can be very happy that they played a good ball game, and they get a big hand from the crowd as the point leaders are announced for tonight's ball game. Don, a disappointing trip to the West Coast all around. The Quakers lost a close one last night in double overtime with four starters out of the game after fouling out. Tonight, they were never really in it.
No, they weren't, Paul. They fell behind 9-0 at the start, and it was just difficult to catch up after that. They got as close as five a couple of times early, midway through the first half. But San Diego State was able to get things going again, and from there on in, it was just a home sweet home for them as they just kept coasting and coasting, and the lead just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, they held on for 20. Well, I should say they held on. Finally, the lead got as high as 24, which was the final margin of victory. A 110-86 victory for the San Diego State Aztecs. I would like to point out that among the leading scorers for the Quakers tonight was Tony Price. Tony had 25 points. Tony really had a fine game for them, as he, especially in the first half when the issue was still somewhat in depth, Tony really played very well at both ends of the court. Running down the scoring for the Quakers, James Stolters had 6 points for the Quakers, somewhat of a disappointing effort for James. And that he's expected, well, he averages a double figure, and he's expected to do that in most of the games he plays in. Timmy Smith is 7 points, 10 points below his seasonal average. Matt White is 15 points. Matt, again, had another fine game here in the Cabrillo Classic. Bobby Willis is 13 points. Kenny Hall had 3 points. Tom Leeson had 4. Vincent Ross did not score. Angelo Reynolds had 6 points. All of that coming when the issue was no longer in doubt. He had 6 points on 3 of 5 shooting. Ted Flick had 4 points. Eddie Cool had 2. Tom Condon did not score, and David Jackson did not score. For the victorious Aztecs of San Diego State University, Steve Malovic, their big center, at 21 points. Mike Dodd at 18 points. Wynn, their very elusive guard, at 6 points. Kim Getz at 26 points. Fresnel Gilbert at 16 points. Cornish at 2 points. Hale at 6 points. Ranson at 8. Hamilton had 5. Holden had 2, and Brown did not score. So, Paul, that about wraps it up from here. Well, we may as well think of a few things along the way to remind our listeners that they are listening to WXPN in Philadelphia. This is Don Angelo with Paul Rzusek. And let's make mention again, Paul, of the games upcoming in the new year as the 1978 portion of the 78-79 season has come to an end.
We'll be coming to you live from Harvard on January 5th, Friday night, airtime 7:45. Then the very next night on Saturday night, January 6th, we'll be at Dartmouth as the Quakers play their first Ivy League road trip, two-game road trip. Airtime for the Dartmouth game on Saturday the 6th is 7:15. Then on January 10th, the Quakers take on their second Big Five opponent, the Owls of Temple. Airtime for that game, 8:45. January 13th, we go to Jadwin Gym at Princeton University. Airtime, 7:45. That's the Saturday before classes start once again at the University of Pennsylvania. Then shortly after that, early in the week on Tuesday, January 16th, the Quakers play the Hawks of St. Joseph's, another Big Five game, all the exciting action of Big Five basketball. Airtime for that one on 8:45. All games carried live on WXPN, where you can hear all 10 basketball actions. Well done. I think that does wrap it up. Once again, the final, the San Diego State University Aztecs defeating the University of Pennsylvania Quakers by the score of 110-86.
for Ron Fell, our statistician, our engineer back at the station, Tony Oteri, my colleague, Don Ames. This is Paul Rizutek saying so long. This has been a WXPN, WQHS, sports presentation.